Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Columbus.
Happy Groundhog Day. I'm Eric Reeser. Another big night from Jelani Cambridge powered the 11th-ranked Ohio State women's basketball team to their 20th win of the season. 30 points, 6 assists for the sophomore from Nashville pushed the Buckeyes past Nebraska 90-71 last night at the shot. OSU's 9-2 in Big Ten play, 2 games back of 11-0 UCLA. Ohio State heads west for a 2-game road trip that starts Thursday at number 25, Washington. As for the Ohio State men's squad, Buckeyes fell at Wisconsin Saturday. OSU 6-5 in the Big Ten. They'll play at Maryland on Thursday. Hear more from the basketball Buckeyes today at noon on the Jake Diebler radio show. In the NBA, the Cavaliers dealt forward DeAndre Hunter to the Kings for Keon Ellis and Dennis Schroeder. It was part of a 3-team deal that included the Bulls. The deadline in the association's Thursday at 3 o'clock. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero from now until March 31st. Buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app. Terms apply. Breaking sports news on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. As you can tell, your Uncle Bo is a little under it. We're a little under the weather. I don't think the weather's helping. I don't think coaching 66 youth basketball teams is helping either, or being exposed to all of them. Sent out the weekly plan this week for practice. Already got two texts back from parents saying, yeah, we've got stomach flu. So we're on a counter here, boys. We'll do the best we can for as long as we can and try to stay in it. We're pretty loaded up for you. 9:30 Ryan Day. That was interesting. Last Friday, he had the coaches show, and in that, had some comments about the new staff and Arthur Smith, and we'll have some of that for you coming up at 9:30. 10:30, Austin Ward will drop by, as is customary. 11 o'clock, we will blitz the weekend, and then at 11:30, Nate Davis is going to join us from out in San Francisco, as it is Super Bowl week out there. This is going to be a massive week for sports television. Now, there are several factors for that. Chief among them is just what you're going to have an opportunity to watch. The Olympics start this week. That is one of those things that the casual sports fan, it's casual sports fan Super Bowl. Truly is. Like, my wife's excitement to watch winter sports that she has never participated in and never seen live is stunning to me. She can't wait. I've already heard about it 6 times. Olympics start this week. Can't wait. Okay. All right. Let's go. Whatever you need, whatever we need to see on that. And then the other thing is you have the actual Super Bowl, the actual Super Bowl. Then there's a third factor in all of this. We are in the midst of what I'm going to say in homage to the late, great Chris Bradley, former 10 TV meteorologist, is the most absurd winter we've ever experienced. We're in the mix of it right now. I don't ever recall this much sustained cold. I was looking at the 30-day guys. We don't really get to the mid-40s, according to AccuWeather. There's like low 40s early next week, but we're several weeks now in of 20s, 30s, if we're lucky. It's been brutally cold. And then that Punxsutawney Phil comes out today and he goes, yeah, 6 more weeks of winter. Away we go. So buckle up. So what are you going to do in those scenarios? You're going to watch sports. That's what you're going to watch. You're going to be with your family. You're going to be inside watching sports. If you are a youth coach right now, you're going to have tournament play on the weekend if you're playing hoops, and away you go. Hockey too. That's the way it's going to go at this point. But this is going to be whatever the numbers are, whatever the record numbers are in the Super Bowl. I really think there's a chance this breaks it, in large part because not just are we frozen, the entire country is frozen. I get a text from my dad last night at night, Sunday night. warmer in Montana than it is here. But this is the real kicker. Warmer in Montana than it is in Vero Beach, where my brother lives. So it's a frozen tundra, kids, from sea to shining sea.
I won't push back to Punxsutawney Phil. Buckeye Chuck will push back to Punxsutawney Phil.
Okay.
In Marion this morning, Buckeye Chuck did not see his shadow, predicting an early start to spring.
Man, where do we go there?
So choose your rodent. I choose Buckeye Chuck.
All right. Now that we can have a chat about that. I mean, Punxsutawney comes first, right?
He's
the more established.
He emerges first, I believe. Or they
seer of shadow.
They yank him out of his den first. You imagine being a groundhog in Pennsylvania or in Marion, Ohio, and you're just trying to sleep and be warm, and all of a sudden someone just grabs you and holds you up in front of people.
Do you think it's the same groundhog year to year? Or do you think they just go grab one like a week before?
I think in years they probably have just whatever, you know, rodents available.
Yeah.
What are they going to know? The difference?
Is it like Ugga, where they breed like a whole series of Uggas that are all the same? Or is Punxsutawney like, is it even from the same family? Do they just go grab one out of the ground and say, it's your turn, let's go?
I mean, it has to be one that's been domesticated, right? Like, you're not going to go yesterday and be, oh, man, tomorrow's Groundhog's Day. We got to go grab one.
I don't know. Maybe you do. How hard can it be, Bake?
Just give it a couple treats and...
Yeah, I mean, how hard is it? Just grab him by the scruff of his neck, throw him in the cage. You're just yanking him out. I'm sure he's going to bite, but they're probably wearing gloves. I don't even know. Can you domesticate a groundhog?
I'm sure you can.
You have to be able to.
I mean, I'm seeing stuff online like skunks and raccoons. Like,
oh,
people have these
right,
as house
skunks.
Pets. So probably. Like, I think
people
I saw
raccoons as house pets?
Coyotes you can domesticate. Yeah. Like, it's all possible. But I wonder...
Go ahead, Reese.
Well, when you're reaching your hand into the... Because I had a chinchilla as a kid. And
they
hated it when you went to... Because you want to put them in the ball so they can roll around and get some exercise. Because they're kind of thick animals. They would hate it, though, when you would grab them. So they'd bite. So I wonder if, you know, Buckeye Chuck or Punxsutawney Phil had a bad morning once and just sliced off the finger of a handler. That's where my head goes when I see these things.
I can't believe you had a chinchilla.
Yeah.
How did you sell that? Was it yours?
My aunt and uncle had a few of them, and I'm not sure why they did, but they decided that of the four or five they had, an extra one was too many. And so here's 10-year-old Eric. Yeah, sure, whatever.
And your folks were like, yeah, we're in.
Uh-huh.
And how was the rearing of the chinchilla?
It was fine. It was just like a little rodent that stayed in its cage most of the time because it hated interacting with humans.
Yeah, because it's a
so we didn't really interact with it. Like, there was there was a honeymoon period where I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and then I realized this thing hates us. So here's food, here's water, and I'll leave you alone, bud.
How long did he last?
A couple years.
Yeah.
We rehomed him.
Oh, well, that's good. But yeah, I bet you did.
I don't know. I guess that's what I was told, yeah. It's true. Very good point.
That's what I was told.
People need coats.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I believe Reese just had an epiphany on the show live with all of us.
Kind of those, you know.
He just disappeared.
Maybe that...
don't worry. We rehomed him. Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure the folks did. Let's go out past Plain City and drop him in a field.
So
who gets hurt?
So awesome that my parents took the goldfish and let it swim in the pond with its brothers.
See?
That was great.
That's yeah, we had to do that. It just was getting to the point where that was rather ridiculous with the fish. I'm making efforts to try. I would like to do that with Buddy Garrity, and I love him, but he's all me. And I'm like, boy, I think he'd really thrive on a ranch, kids. Like what if he could really just,
he sounds like he would
get out there and thrive.
Like,
and
the Ponderosa would be the
Ponderosa. Yeah.
He'd love it. He'd love it. Now it would be a culture change from him. Just from a day in the life perspective, instead of, you know, being inside, he'd basically spend all day outside, which he'd probably like. He'd probably like. No more grooming, which he's not fond of. So all of those things would go away. If he got an ear infection, you just sort it out naturally. Not a whole lot of going to the vet to check on ear infections out there. That's kind of the way that goes. So this is it. I you guys have lived here your whole life. I've lived here since 07. I don't ever recall a winter like this one. I really don't. It's just been... sustained cold. There's been little blips here and there, but just sustained cold for feels like weeks.
I think of other places in the country, like Charlotte got a foot of snow this weekend. Like, they're not ready for that.
The whole city.
Like, Charlotte's not going to open up for a couple days, guys, in the ice storm. Did you see the pictures Herbie posted last week of the ice storm in his neighborhood in Nashville? Yeah. Just taking down trees. There was so much ice on them. It was so heavy.
It snowed in Gainesville.
Those places down south aren't ready for this.
When I moved to Tallahassee, it was in March, and the last place we drove down, my folks and I drove down two cars, and the last stop we made was in Birmingham. It was in early March, and they had an ice storm. And we woke up in the hotel and turned on the television, and it was like, the roads are closed. And I'm going, it was like 38 degrees, but they had the ice. And they're like, the roads are closed. And I'm like, we are going, I'm not spending another night in Birmingham. Like, we're going to finish this off. We're going to finish this drive off. And so we did it. And what you quickly realized, and where I grew up, when it was icy or snowy, they put gravel and dirt. Jody and I were talking about this last week. It's gravel and dirt on the road because they don't have salt. Well, in the South, they don't have either. They don't have either. So
they don't have a plow truck.
Right. They don't have a plow truck. You're exactly right. So when it gets cold and icy, they're paralyzed, completely paralyzed. And it's absolutely wild. And I think it's going to lead to, I wonder, does the Olympics hockey, does that start right away? Do we have an idea when that gets going?
No, not sure on when the hockey starts, but they've got mixed doubles and curling that begins Wednesday. And the ceremony, the opening ceremony is on Friday.
Yeah.
Which I never kind of understood. I'm like, wouldn't you want the opening ceremony to be the first thing? But I guess you got to get those mixed curling doubles out of the way.
Well, they want to make sure that Friday night is your opening ceremonies, because that's where their big numbers are going to be. So they'll crush on that. I did the Columbus Curling Club. They invited me over. Like, this is probably 12 years ago or something. They brought me over there, and Dom and I did like the curling competition, and we were terrible at it. I couldn't believe how hard it was. Couldn't believe how heavy the stones were. A lot of skill for the curling folks. But the hockey I'm interested in, I love the downhill, love any sort of the alpine stuff. I'm all for that. Go ahead, Vic.
So, Bo, we've got women's hockey starting on Thursday.
Okay.
It looks like on that side of things. And I'm through Friday here. No men's hockey as of yet.
So much curling in the Olympics.
A lot of curling.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to be fair, like the NHL, it's probably next week because the NHL still has games this week. So you're going to have to get those games
in. Get the teams to the arena.
Get them to Italy at that point, and then hopefully the arena is ready to go. Speaking of hockey teams.
10:40 on Wednesday morning, I'm looking as the first preliminary for men's ice hockey, Slovakia and Finland.
Like the 11th?
So that's the 11th?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you got to get them out there a little bit. All right, speaking of hockey, if you're the Blue Jackets, do you even want this break? My hunch is you probably don't. They are absolutely rolling. Bake had the rare experience of someone on this show seeing a road Jackets game. Get a full breakdown of that. Ryan Day coming up at 9:30 on Arthur Smith. We're off and running on a Monday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Enjoy. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today.
Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered snow showers on and off today, otherwise increasing clouds with highs finally getting in the upper 20s, although we can still feel like we are below zero with that wind chill. For tonight, chances of flurries linger, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 20s. And then for Tuesday, we'll have some more scattered snow showers possible, otherwise cloudy skies and highs finally getting up right around the freezing mark. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
What is this, 8 of 9 now? Since Bonus took the gig?
Yep, 8 of 9. Actually, 9 of 10, if you want to go back to Dean's last game, too.
Yeah, yeah. 8 of 9 since Bonus came on, 9 of 10 overall. And, you know, it's not just the winning, it's pretty comprehensive winning at this point over this stretch. Now they've got 2 left. They play tomorrow night at Jersey, then they close it Wednesday against Chicago here. This is probably the definition, and of course it's just the puck luck that we continue to have in Central Ohio with this team. I'm guessing nobody wants to stop playing hockey. Nobody does. But especially when you've won 9 of 10 and 8 of 9. Now they'll do the best they can with it. Everybody's in the same boat. But you're basically going to say goodbye to guys for a couple of weeks and then do like a mini training camp and away you go. And when you're playing this well, my hunch is you'd want to keep going. Bake, you made the trip to St. Louis. How'd it go?
Well, you come back with a win. So that's good. There's nothing like going to enemy territory and walking out of there with a win. Mm-hmm. It's just always a great time. St. Louis is an awesome place to go see a game. I feel like they do a great job with their game ops. And you almost always, when you go somewhere, have some fan trying to give you something. You know, somebody trying to get at you because you're rooting for the opposing team. St. Louis is the nicest home fans ever. They're so nice. You guys were great. We love Zach Werenski. We think he's the best.
Yeah.
St. Louis fans are awesome. We had a great time out there.
Did you get the sense? So in St. Louis, they have the Blues and they have the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's the list. Does it feel like that's sufficient for that city?
I think it does to me. It's very interesting because St. Louis is probably more than any town I've ever seen been affected by the change in transportation and how we do things.
Okay.
Because it's right on the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was a big city, because stuff used to come in and out of there all the time. St. Louis, for the most part, is very run down. Mm-hmm. A lot of boarded up buildings, a lot of buildings falling apart. Like, it's very interesting how it's such a big city, but it's really not anymore. And they have the soccer team, obviously, out there, and they have a UFL team. They have the St. Louis Battlehawks, and I think people out there really have gotten behind that and love that. I think St. Louis, to me, kind of feels a lot like Columbus, and it almost feels like an underdog town. So you're going to get behind whatever is yours, and you're going to back it and push it and do whatever you can.
I remember 3 saying that the big problem, like that the suburbs were incredible. A lot of suburbs were great. But just the corporate money just isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, the way that it was 25, 30 years ago. Budweiser's obviously still there, but it's not owned by the Anheuser-Busch family or the Bush family anymore. So, I'm sure they're not quite as active as they were when they had full ownership of that. In terms of the play and the 8 of 9 and 9 of 10 overall, it was so critical that they won on this road trip and had success so that ground wasn't lost. Rick Bonus available post game on Saturday about finding a way to win games like the one they did on Saturday.
No, it's from everybody. You know, they had a lot of shots, and we get that, a lot of outside shots. They had only, I think, 8 scoring chances through 2 periods when we were healthy and we were playing our game, and then all of a sudden, we were on our heels a bit in the third. But you expect that. They didn't play last night, and we're down. This bench got a little shorter, but so you find a way to win. Good teams find a way to win. We're a good team.
Yeah, they are a very good team. The goalie thing's working, too. Everything Rick's doing is working, Reese. I mean, it's one of those things where, unfortunately for us, they're going to have to go on the shelf for a while, which is going to be, I think, tough when you have a team playing this way.
Yeah, I do wonder, you know, for some of the guys, I think it was Monahan was dealing with he was sick. Yeah. And so guys, I'm sure, are dealing with nagging injuries, so maybe this is a little bit of a chance for them to get rested. It'll be an awesome opportunity for Zach Werenski to go out there and show out like he did in the Four Nations. Elvis Merzlikins is playing for Team Latvia. So for those guys who get that opportunity, it's great. I do wish, like you, that they would have actual NHL games in front of them. You've got two great opportunities. You've got New Jersey and then Chicago at home, like you said, not only for New Jersey to get kind of a swing. It's a 4-point game right there. But for Chicago, you're able to leave for a couple of weeks in front of your home fans. And if you can leave that game with a win, you can kind of retain some of the momentum that you built over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, this for Don Waddell, you know, I can't say enough of how good of a job that he's done. Mm-hmm. And I'm even more excited now thinking that this, because the Mason Marchman edition has been great. I'm excited to see what they can do as the trade deadline also kind of looms post Olympic break. You have so much opportunity ahead of you, and it's because of that move, I think, that was made a couple weeks ago with Dean Evason.
And I get the feeling, I don't know why, and I felt this for a while, I just get the feeling Don's gonna try to swing something big.
Hope so.
Especially if they're playing like this, if they get these last two heading into the break, I just get the feeling that Don is, he's been around this team long enough. He knows who he wants to build around and who maybe he doesn't. And I just get the feeling he wants this team in the playoffs and making a run here. And I just get the feeling he's going to do something big. I don't know anything. It's just a gut feeling I have.
Is there how would you define that? Like, what's a name? Who's someone who could be on the block?
Artemi Panarin.
My guys at High Bank got the vodka ready. I'll tell you that.
Now, with Panarin, you'd have to sign him to an extension. I don't think they're doing rentals. I think they want somebody who's got some term. And with Panarin, you would have to, with any team, you would have to work out an extension with him before he is moved. And the Rangers are not playing him. They're not playing him until he's traded. Like, he's out of the lineup, roster management, until he is traded. Now, does he want to come back? Who knows? But
is he playing for Russia?
Russia's not in the Olympics still.
Oh, God,
they're not allowed. Because you'd have a couple more Blue Jackets on that roster than
Kirill Marchenko
for sure.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that part of it. You forget about all of that. I'll be reacquainted with that once the Olympic hockey tournament starts next week. We'll be locked into that. That'll be a lot of fun. The Stadium Series game, it's funny. My kids do not watch hockey other than a little bit of Blue Jackets if they're on. And we got back from youth basketball last night, and they were bouncing around on channels, and they saw NHL Hockey Stadium Series, and they went to it, and they watched for 20 minutes. And it's one of those things where it just looks cool. I can't believe they got weather in Tampa that allowed for it to be. I mean, it also helped. They scored in 11 seconds in the game. But it was Lightning and Bruins, obviously. But it's amazing. They got cold enough weather down in Tampa that the ice seemed to be pretty good. And we watched for a little bit. I think, you know, I know some people will say that the Stadium Series stuff has gotten out of hand, that they've kind of blown the Winter Classic a little bit, making it as special as it used to be. And maybe it doesn't have that same juice to it. Anytime you do something over and over again, folks are going to get used to it. It just are. But I still think on a one-off, and we experienced it last year here, it's still magical on a one-off. And I hope they keep doing it, and it sounds like they're going to, because it looks cool. They did a great job of presentation down in Tampa with all the Pirate stuff and the Buccaneer stuff. I mean, I thought it was a nice job, and it was a really fun game, obviously.
And I think that's the one thing about it, too, is the NHL plays it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go big on this. And we saw all the stuff they did here last year with Ohio State and involving them and incorporating them in the game. You talked about it. The Bruins show up in Patriot gear.
Mm-hmm.
The Tampa team shows up in the old creamsicle football jerseys. John Cooper looking straight like, I don't know if he was Miami Vice.
He was
He was like half Miami Vice, half Tony Soprano type thing. Like, it was.
What was he going for?
Tony Montana-ish. And I go, well, that's Florida.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what he was going for.
I was
going
to have him and my player who disappointed because I don't think he got the right region of the state. Like, people in Tampa aren't going to connect with that, but it looked good.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't understand the get up at all, but It worked, and I hope they keep doing it for the foreseeable future. The Buckeye coaching staff seems to be coming into place. Ryan Day on the hiring of Arthur Smith, the latest on Patricia, and a new special teams coordinator. We'll get to all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man? What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Monday edition of the program. Ryan Day with a Monday, I'm sorry, a Friday Ryan Day show that we had right here on The Fan. And it's the first time we've had a chance to talk to Coach in a long time. He has made an offensive coordinator hire, which is now official. Arthur Smith locked into the fold, the former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, offensive coordinator with Pittsburgh and Tennessee. He comes in and will run the Buckeye offense this year. New special teams coordinator joins as well. Robbie Deischer, he's this new special teams coordinator. He comes over from Illinois, so he will handle that side of it. Now, there is to this point, I haven't seen anything official with Patricia, but I assume it's a 2-year deal that he signed, and we'll see. But I do think that it's good news at this point that he has not been announced as a defensive coordinator. And the one that I was mostly worried about was Buffalo, just from the standpoint of he's from that part of the country and I think would like to get back a little bit. I still have a little bit of antenna up on the Raiders situation just because Brady's there. So that one's kind of hanging there a little bit. Reese, go ahead.
I was going to say, the general threw it out on Morning Juice that because of his relationship with Tom Brady, like there could be something there. If and when they make Clint Kubiak official, and that probably won't happen until after the Super Bowl, but yeah, it could be a potential. But every time I saw a defensive coordinator spot in the NFL get filled, I felt a little better. And so I'd say I'd be feeling pretty good right now as an Ohio State fan if you want to keep Matt Patricia for 2026.
I think everybody does. It's the Vegas one that's still out there, the Brady influence. Who knows what that is all about? Who knows what Clint Kubiak wants to do? And we'll get into the NFL coaching stuff a little bit later, but just when you get those opportunities, you're going to want to make sure that your folks are there and people that you trust in those positions, because sometimes you don't get another run at it. Not everybody is Mike McCarthy and gets three shots at blue chip jobs. Like, it doesn't happen that often. So if you get the one shot, you want to make sure that you do it right. Ryan Day, as I mentioned, elaborated on a great many things. We'll have much more on this coming up at 10 o'clock, but let's start here. Here's Ryan on the hiring of Arthur Smith.
I just felt like going into this season in particular, you know, we needed somebody with some play calling experience that really could kind of take over that room and allow me to kind of step back. Sort of, you know, a couple years ago with Chip, it was that way. And then also, you know, mentor the guys in a room so that, you know, if there is another transition down the road, those guys would be, ready to really take that over. And so, as you imagine, looked at a lot of different guys. And, you know, for me, wanted to have somebody, again, that had been a play caller at a high level, been a head coach. You know, those are, not that it was a prerequisite, but those are the kind of things you're looking for. But then also find somebody that really wants to be here. And that's you know, the thing you really work to find, and then whatever makes sense in terms of contracts and all those things. And I think, we've hit a home run here.
Yeah, and I think the model here is going to be pretty fascinating, and I think that's going to be duplicated a lot. It seems that when Ryan has these types of openings, he is going to look at this NFL coaching carousel, kind of the fallout from that, and he's going to poach it. And my hunch is what he's probably going to try to do here is look for 2-year commitments on those coaches and ask them for that, because I don't think you want to do this every year. I have no delusions of grandeur here. I see no scenario where Arthur Smith is here in the 27th season. The 28th season. I guess we're in 2026. Hard time seeing that. Feels like it's a 1 and 2 and then you're done. My hunch is if Patricia does come back for this year, if we're fortunate enough to have him back, that this will be his last year there. And so this is a choice that Ryan's making. And we talk a lot about how you're building a roster out and how that has changed. So too is hiring a coaching staff. That's changed too. It used to be you would try to get somebody. You needed to have a great recruiter. You need to have somebody who could go out and sell the program. You don't really need that anymore because the way that the rules are, and only 10 coaches can go out there and recruit. So theoretically, Arthur Smith and Matt Patricia won't hit the road, and they will be at the facility, and they will be. Now, I saw Matt recruiting with Ryan several times.
I think he likes it.
I think he does too. So I'm going with threes. So there's a little bit of that, but you don't have to do that. And I think this is a massive change in how we prioritize filling a coaching staff. And it's one that we're going to be on for the foreseeable future. It seems like Ryan really likes this process.
Well, two of Ohio State's contemporaries in the sport are Alabama and Georgia over the last 20, 25 years. And that's how their, you know, coaching staffs have gone too. I mean, Nick Saban was famous for it. Guys would come in 2 years, go out to a better job. And so I think the healthiest programs have shown a propensity to do that and a propensity to win through all of that. So even with Brian Hartline, you know, he goes and takes the South Florida job. If he's able to have similar success, then you probably see him in a bigger job in 5 years. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Matt Patricia, probably same thing with Arthur Smith. These guys are using this as a springboard back into whatever it is that they want to do. And there's still a lot of, you know, group think that they have a lot to offer, whether it be in college football, whether it be in the NFL. And for guys that want to play on Sundays, like, I think it's still important, despite the two teams that played for a college football national championship having a roster that can average the age to rent a car, you still need guys out of the high school ranks that are 4 and 5 stars that you can develop over a couple of years. And those two guys with NFL bona fides can kind of add to that, add to what already is stellar development here. But when you're running pro systems or pro-ish systems to what Matt Patricia and to what Arthur Smith are going to implement and call and run, it makes you the more rounded and complete football player for the next level. So you don't have to go portal. You don't have to really worry about portaling as much.
I also, and Ryan talked about this because he talked about the Arthur Smith hiring a lot, and he talked about having, he didn't think this was the right time to promote with from within. And he talked about the loyalty from Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler and Tyler Bowen and all of them staying this year. And I think when you make these kind of hires, it allows you to keep your staff and grow them. And like, maybe Brian Hartline wasn't ready, but then in a year under Chip Kelly, Chip Kelly could work with Brian maybe a little more than Ryan could and teach him some things. Then he becomes the offensive coordinator. He moves on. I also think like these hires are good with keeping these staffs. And then maybe when Patricia leaves, we talk about it a lot on this show, maybe it could be threes that moves into that defensive coordinator spot. Or you've got another guy on your staff in Tim Walton, who I think would be great in that defensive coordinator spot. They really seem to like Keenan Bailey, and he seems to be a bright mind. Maybe 2 years under Arthur Smith, maybe Keenan Bailey's ready for the offensive coordinator spot, or maybe Tyler Bowen is. You just never know. But I think it's good for these coaches as well to grow them, because you keep doing this, and you mentioned maybe you don't want to do it every year, but maybe this leads you to one that's going to be here for 5 years.
Yeah, and I think the other factor here is that the sport has changed so much that the rosters have so many new faces in and out that everyone's kind of learning everything together. You know, I mean, it didn't take very damn long to go from what Jim Knowles was doing to what Matt Patricia was doing. That happened pretty quick. And those two defensive philosophies were very, very different. Now, we have the Ohio State offense, which is Ryan Day's offense, and Arthur Smith is going to put his fingerprints on it, but that offense is going to remain the same. I also think if you're Ryan and you look at the team you have coming back next year, and you've got a Heisman finalist and the best player in America playing offensive football, like, you don't want to worry about that. He might now be able to put emphasis on other spots in the program from a development, from a portal standpoint, because he can trust a guy who's ran the Atlanta Falcons and ran the offenses in Tennessee and Pittsburgh to handle that side of it. I mean, what Arthur Smith is given here is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, the returning offensive line, a very solid running back, the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith, and a treasure trove of weapons on the outside, some new, some old, that you're going to have to work in. So you really couldn't, in this scenario, and it's, I don't even know if this is going to work anymore. Like, I don't know if you can learn on the fly at Ohio State anymore. I don't know if you can do that. You're going to have to kind of come in fully formed. Now, the guys that you're talking about, Fessler, Laurinaitis, Walton, those type of guys, I mean, they have been brought along in a way that they could absolutely do it. But even those guys, I mean, here's what you're going to have to get used to, guys. The way that this sport is right now, if there is an NFL off ramp, they're taking it. They're taking it. Position coaches, coordinators. At this point, we haven't had to deal with head coach, but I'm sure we will at some point. You are going to take that off ramp when you can, just because of all the chaos around the sport. So when you can hire guys like Patricia last year and Smith this year and just go, they got it. they got it. I don't have to worry about it. They know what they're doing. They've coached grown men at the highest level. They will execute what I want, and I don't have to worry about it, because what Ryan does have to worry about is only everything else. That's it.
It's got to be the CEO.
Yeah. I don't think you're ever... I know that Lane's going to do it at LSU, and I know that Lincoln does it at USC. There's a couple more out there, but with the way that you are spread now as a head coach in college football, I think those guys are the last of a dying breed of quarterback savant, offense savant, call ball plays. Like, we've seen it with Sark. How much mismanagement have they had at the end of the games at Texas when he's trying to do too many things? Mm-hmm. You go follow anybody at Texas and ask them Sark's game management, and it's red flags everywhere, because you're doing too much, man. You're spread too thin.
And that's why I wasn't totally against, if Ryan wanted to continue to call the plays and be the main offensive coordinator. But if he was going to do that, he needed to bring somebody in that had head coaching in college, not NFL. I need head coaching experience in the college game. Pretty recent head coaching experience, too, I would think, to kind of help him with some of that head coaching stuff that might slip through the wayside.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very, very fair. Much more on Coach Day, the offseason, the portal, and all of that coming up at 10 o'clock. Coming up next, college basketball has been extraordinary over the last couple of weeks. The Buckeye basketball team kind of teetering, one up, one down, one up, one down. And it's going to put them in a spot here in February where a lot of wins are going to be needed if they can find themselves off the bubble. We will get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, The Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, here's the real truth, as it were, from a Buckeye basketball perspective. Last year, NCAA tournament, Big Ten teams, eight got in. A total of eight of them got in, which was low, I think, for a lot of people's standing. Indiana missed out. They were 10-10 in the league. The minimum record of a team that got in last year was Oregon. They were 12-8, and they got in at 12-8 in the league. So this brings us to present day, and you're looking at an Ohio State team that, with the loss to Wisconsin, is now 6-5 in the league. They are 14-7 overall. From a quality win standpoint, pretty fleeting. So you're going to need to be at least a plus team in Big Ten play, and probably multiple game plus team in Big Ten play in order to get in. So if you use 12-8 as kind of your barometer of the minimum requirement to get in, and you think about this stretch of games that has happened really since you got into conference play, and this one up, one down, one up, one down, it's just not going to cut it. At some point, you need to go on a little bit of a run. They are at Maryland. That game is on Thursday night, at Maryland, 8:30 on FS1. And then they're back at home against Michigan on Sunday at 1 o'clock. So those are the next two. Then it's USC after that, Virginia, Wisconsin, so forth and so on. The schedule gets really brutal. As we prepared you for, you knew that this part was coming. It's hard for me to see a scenario where, unfortunately, this team is going to be right there on the bubble the rest of the way. Now, there's been some rotation stuff that's a little bit different. Tyson Chapman getting a lot of play in the game over the weekend, scored 14. But in terms of your stars have to be stars every single time out, in order to compete in this league. And there just isn't the depth of talent that's required to be able to do it. Jake Diebler available over the weekend after the loss to Wisconsin, 92-82. You give up 92, obviously it starts at the defensive end.
Yeah, we got caught in some two-way help situations because we weren't positioned early enough. I believe that was a stretch that you're referencing where Rapp hit some threes. You know, one or two of those that he, of his five, maybe you can say our execution was okay, but a lot of them it wasn't. And so when we didn't execute our coverage, it put us in these long closeout situations. And, you know, against a good shooting team, you try to limit that, the time during those, that position. And we didn't do it well enough during that stretch.
Do they get in?
Not without a healthy Christoph Tilly. They missed him in stretches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning no.
I don't believe they do, Bo, because as we've talked for a couple weeks on this show, this February schedule is pretty brutal. They have mm-hmm. to win this Maryland game.
Yeah.
They're all must wins now.
Because I don't see another win on the schedule mm-hmm. until Penn State, March 4th. Maybe USC. And I'm sure they'll get one in there. They're going to win a game that they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
They'll beat someone that's probably better than them.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan, USC, Virginia, who's ranked 17th,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, at Michigan State, at Iowa, Purdue. I just don't know where the wins are coming there.
Yeah, even if you win one or one that you're not supposed to, and you pick up a couple of wins in that stretch through the middle of February, as history taught us last year, that's not going to be enough. You need to be three or four games over 500 in Big Ten play to be able to do it. They're currently 6-5. I'll be honest with you, though. I really don't know if that's a disappointment. Because when I watch this team play, that's what they look like to me. They look like a bubble team. Like a team smack dab in the bubble. Bubble in, bubble out. I just think the roster construction, the way that it is, and these guys are great Buckeyes, a lot of great Buckeyes in here with Bruce Thornton. You think about Devin and Junie are local kids who made good and are really balling out. But when you juxtapose it to the rest of what you see in college basketball, if you watched any bit of Kansas and BYU on Saturday, or you watched Kentucky and Arkansas on Saturday night, if you watched Michigan State, and you just see like the level that's being played in the sport in the top 25 realm. Now, you know, Michigan's obviously one of the four best teams in the country, but even beyond that, Kentucky's in the 20s, Kansas is in the teens, BYU's in the teens. And yet they have guys that can go carry for extended chunks and just put it on our back. And for Ohio State, it's got to be kind of a piecemeal thing here, to put it all together. So to me, like this seems what they are. Seems about what they should be at this point.
Yeah, and I was lamenting where Ohio State is as a basketball program, where Ohio State, the men's basketball program, is just watching Friday night at the Breslin Center with Michigan mm-hmm. and Michigan State, how you had Dusty May come out and sit right in front of the Izzone as they were screaming yeah. like that. Those were big stakes and, you know, a big time atmosphere. And we're a little removed from when Ohio State used to have that. But it's like when you see those kinds of things in the Big Ten, even last night with Nebraska and Illinois. Like
great.
Nebraska had a sellout game. They lost to the Illini, but like mm-hmm. Nebraska's legit. And so I keep thinking like Ohio State can do that, can do what Nebraska's doing. There's no reason they, same with Illinois. There's no reason it cannot be that. And so you just look at the, you know, opportunities that are consistently being missed by this program that mm-hmm. ends up dovetailing you into the apathetic place that they are right now.
Yeah. The investment that those schools are making in basketball is significant. Significant roster investment.
And that's the thing to me, Reese, when we talk about Ohio State could be that. Yeah, I think they could, but Ohio State has to choose to put resources into the basketball program like other people are, and I just don't think they are doing that right now in this new age of everything going around, and maybe it'll course correct and they will, but I think a lot of their money and a lot of their focus is on football. And basketball has just taken a little bit of a back seat here for it. Bo, you mentioned some of these other teams, and they've got guys yeah. that have to carry them. For Ohio State to do damage, they need Bruce and Junie both playing at a high level.
Yeah.
And we didn't get that the past few games.
No.
Like, we've had Junie, and then all of a sudden Bruce plays a little better, and a good job out of Amari Bynum and Tayson Chapman. It seems like maybe Tayson Chapman's getting over his injuries a little bit, and the rust is being knocked off. And he's a guy that I thought coming into the year was a big X factor for this team. And until the past couple of weeks, you've just got nothing with it from him.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a sign of things to come. Like, he hasn't played a lot of basketball because of injuries, so maybe he's getting it back a little bit. But you didn't get Junie Mobley against Wisconsin on Saturday.
No, and they both have to score 20.
Yeah, and if Ohio State wants to beat a team like Wisconsin or teams better than that, they have to have Bruce and Junie both going.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think it also goes back to that big conversation of how many sports can you possibly support? Because it's not just these guys that need NIL. Wrestlers need NIL. Lacrosse needs NIL. Baseball needs NIL. The women's sports need NIL. So, like, how are you divvying all of that up? And it's a question that Ross Bjork's going to have to answer. Like, how many sports do we want to be great at? And what are the ones that are most important that we're great at? Usually it's the revenue generators that you are. So I think there's going to be some very difficult decisions have to be made. Now, they were all in. Anthony Thompson, the kid from, he's from around here, but he plays at Western Reserve up in Northeast Ohio. He's a stud. He's a five-star stud, and they ponied up, and they got him. But he's going to have to be an A.J. DeBonta type next year for them. Like, they need, you know, 20-8 out of him next year on this team. I'll tell you what, I watched Kansas BYU. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Like, what's going on with Darren Peterson is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Did want to shout out a couple other things on campus. The Buckeye women beating Nebraska 90-71. They're now 20-3 on the year, 9-2 in the league. Jelani Cambridge continues to be just spectacular. 22.5 a game, 8th in the country, 2nd in the Big Ten in scoring. The wrestling team is undefeated. Still handling business. Whip Michigan 26-16. They are 16-0 on the season, 5-0 in Big Ten play. When do they go to Penn State?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But did you see what they get for beating Michigan?
No.
Gold singlets?
Oh,
I thought
great.
That was pretty cool. Pretty awesome.
That's very good. That's very good. Yeah, so them against Penn State is going to be World War II. When those two operations take place. So that'll be a fun one. Congratulations to my guy Nick Meyer. Got the lacrosse season started on a good note as well with a home win. Yeah, they're playing lacrosse in February, late January. So that was indoors at the Woody. They got that game done. So, all right, second hour of the program. The meal ticket is Ohio State football. It continues to be that way. Ryan Day on a bunch of stuff. How the portal worked in terms of who they brought in. Julian Sain returning for his second season as a starter. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Super Bowl 60 is Sunday at 6:30. The Seahawks are 4.5-point favorites over the Patriots. We'll have the Super Bowl right here on The Fan with coverage all week long. The Pro Bowl takes place tomorrow in San Francisco. Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders and Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco will participate in the 7-on-7 flag football game. In the NHL, two more games remain until the Olympic break for the Red Hot Blue Jackets. CBJ ride their 5-game winning streak to New Jersey to battle the Devils on Tuesday. Columbus will host Chicago on Wednesday. Zach Werenski will skate for Team USA in the Winter Olympics. Group C play begins next Wednesday against Elvis Merzlikins and Team Latvia. The Blue Jackets will return to action on February 26th, skating in Boston against the Bruins. In college hoops, Ohio State will play at Maryland on Thursday before hosting number 3 Michigan Sunday at 1 o'clock. Hear more from Ohio State hoops with the Jake Diebler radio show coming up at noon today on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Monday edition of the program. Ryan Day on his show Friday talked with the fellas on a great number of topics. Remember, this is the show that used to be the recruiting show. This used to be the signing day show, and now that's gone because we have that December signing period. I guess they still have a signing day. Is it this week?
It's Wednesday.
But it's not really. I mean, is there anybody unsigned from a recruiting standpoint of note?
I'm sure there's a couple people.
I mean, for Ohio State, the hay's in the barn. But for other schools, maybe?
God, I used to love National
Day. It used to be the biggest thing for what we do, covering Ohio State football on a daily basis. The first Wednesday in February was up at dawn all day long.
Yeah, I mean, it was before dawn. I loved it. We would get here, and when I was in North Florida, like, it was, you were in a news truck and you were just going from one place to another, kind of covering kids' signings, and everybody was then. I just pulled up the 24/7 top 100. It doesn't look like there is a single kid. I'm trying to see if there's even a single kid in the top 100 that isn't signed.
Now, can you afford to? If you wait this long, a school's already gotten in the portal to get somebody at your position that they need, right?
Yeah. This goes to something we talk about all the time. Like, this is the one sacrifice coaches are going to have to make in this, is they're going to have to get rid of early enrollees. But you're all going to be in it together. So no one's going to have early enrollees, so don't panic. It's going to be fine. And that's the one thing. Because you put this signing day back in February, you get rid of the December one, you keep the kids off campus until the summer, and then you have what can be a much more logical calendar, as we've laid out a great many times. So there is a signing day tomorrow. My hunch is you won't see anybody from the football side of things regarding Ohio State in it. Go ahead, Bick.
I was just going to say, I don't think that's ever happening, Bo, though. Because they want these kids coming in January.
Well, you got to give up something.
They want these freshmen in there as early as possible to get a jump on things. So.
I get it. And Urban was one of the first to start this. He did it down at Florida. I remember he did it with Chris Leak, where a lot of those cats were getting in early. He was one of the early proponents of this. And I understand the advantages of it, for sure. But if I were to tell Ryan Day, Mark Pantone, you get one signing day and it's in February, or quite honestly, it's even later in the spring, like late spring in May. And in exchange for that, you get a calendar that actually makes sense, and you get a portal that makes sense, and you get a little bit of your life back. My hunch is they would take it, because everyone's going to be in the same boat. None of these kids are going to get there early. And then it's, you know, if you have that rule, then there's no advantage of getting the kids in any sooner than anybody else, because you'll all be in it. Ryan Available talked about the portal, among other things. Let's start there in terms of how he is using the portal now to fill the roster.
Ideally, we want to, you know, again, develop, retain, but then when guys leave the program, there's going to be holes along the way, and that's where we use the transfer portal. You know, there's some teams that strictly recruit out of the portal, and that's good. That's part of it. But when to me, when you do that, you know, you have to teach them their culture, and it takes time to bring somebody in and understand what goes on, especially in a place like Ohio State. And so you say, well, just go find a guy in the portal who does this. Well, you know, first off, there's only so many, you know, players out there, and then, you know, the skill sets, and then the makeup, the background, you know, the injury history. Like, there's a lot of boxes you have to check here. And so you don't just go out and grab a guy and then all of a sudden he just fits perfectly all the time. It doesn't work that way. So we're very thoughtful about that and how that works, because we know what it means to be a Buckeye here, and making sure they understand what goes on. It can't just be transactional.
Well, I think that's one of the things that's hardest for fans to understand, because I think fans look at, like, the portal and they see Cam Coleman and all these guys, like, God, why didn't we get all these guys? Well, because everyone else has got money too. And in some instances, it's just a straight bidding war. So this is the needle that they're trying to thread, which is blue chip development. I think we have this, by the way. I think we know how this is going to go. I think we've learned from the last 2 years. And I think everything that we've said on this program about 16 to 20, 5 to 6 blue chips, 12 to 15, 3 and 4s that really want to be Buckeyes and can be developed. And then you're then going to just enhance everything in the portal with very, very direct targets. And that's the challenge. But it's tough, because you may have a relationship with somebody, and at the last minute, somebody comes in and offers more, and then you're cooked. So that's the challenge. But my hunch is that's what they're going to try to do. Here's Ryan on overall who was brought in this year.
I think when you look at the guys that we brought in, I think one of the things that we had to address was safety. You know, with Caleb leaving, you know, here's a guy who left after 3 years, so there's a hole there, right? You think about, you know, back when Luke Whipler decided to go to the NFL after 3 years, it was a hole there. Carson had to step in. You know, when, you know, Carnell walked out the door after 3 years, you know, and he goes to the NFL, you know, again, to be a first-round draft pick. Awesome. Like, that, he's fulfilling a dream. Like, so happy for him. Same thing with Caleb. Same thing with Arvell Reese. Well, we have to fill those holes, because we're expecting somebody who's in year four to be walking onto the field this year. Well, that's why we went out and got some of these guys. And, you know, I'm excited about it. I think we did it the right way.
Yeah, the job now is put it all together. And I think about how difficult that would be at places like LSU, where you have 40 or 45 guys. But Miami was big in the portal. Indiana was big in the portal, and you're able to do it. And so you have to create the culture and all of that. The one thing about Ohio State in 2026 that is a fact is you are going to have one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and you're going to have the best weapon in the country in Jeremiah Smith. I would imagine a massive step for Julian, which is pretty crazy to wrap your head around for a kid who finished fourth in the Heisman. I know some people are a little cold on how he played in the postseason. My goodness, it was not on him. Far from it. Far from it. In terms of the approach and some of those things. Here's Ryan on his quarterback returning next year.
Really excited that Julian's coming back. And again, when you say coming back, like, I think maybe a lot of people just assume that. Well, every year it's a different deal. So Julian. Has been awesome here and really, wants to make sure that we have guys around him in an offense together that we can go, win the whole thing, and reach our goals. And so, Julian is going to have a huge offseason. Julian is really going to dive into this thing and take the next step. Again, one of the youngest guys to get to New York City, I think, in a while. Most of the guys who have been going there are older guys. So we're all excited about, this year for him and taking the next step, even as a leader and all the different things. But obviously a great first year for him.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions between fans and reality on, if you go back to December and the portal and January and all of that, when there was a little bit of panic about why isn't Ohio State getting this guy? Why aren't they getting this guy? Why are they not in on this? And we talked about it here, but it's worth reiterating. You had to re-sign your guys. Julian Sand needed a pay upgrade in a big way. Jeremiah Smith needed a pay upgrade in a big way. You have to take care of those guys. They had to take care of Bo Jackson. They had to up the ante for Chris Henry, like the offensive line. Like, your first job is retention of the players you like. And so many times I would see fans say, look, we don't have to pay Sonny anymore. We don't have to pay Caleb anymore. We don't have to play Arvell anymore. Yeah, but you got to pay all these guys. Yeah, you have to pay these guys to start.
They've earned raises.
Yes.
The whole Bo Jackson thing I thought was funny because there's no reason that he didn't earn a raise. He didn't deserve a raise coming out of nowhere and being a 1,000-yard running back as a true freshman. And having two running backs that you had when James Peoples, at least with production from last season, pop into the transfer portal. So not only mm-hmm. is your value exponentially because of how you performed in the regular season, but once your room starts to get a little thin because of portal attrition, then your value continues to rise. Mm-hmm. So all of these guys, they deserve a little bit more. And you're absolutely right in saying that retention is the biggest part that is overlooked constantly in the transfer portal era. But it's the, in my opinion, most important thing. Especially when you talk about Julian Sane. And every time last year they had a game, Ohio State did, of consequence, you said this is the first time for Julian. This is the first time mm-hmm. Julian going on the road. This is the first time Julian facing a top 10 team. You don't have that anymore. It's not like Mendoza and Carson Beck that had 40, 50-plus college football starts going mm-hmm. into the college football playoff. Everything was new and first for Julian. You don't have that this year. But you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to something Ryan said in that first clip that we played.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about worrying about culture and what you build and develop. And we talk about it all the time. Like, Deion flipped his roster massively. It didn't work at Colorado. It worked mm-hmm. a little bit because he had Travis Hunter, who was a generational talent, and Shador, who was a really good college quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work with those two guys. But Cignetti brought over 30 guys from a James Madison team that almost made the college football playoff.
Right.
Like, I don't think people realize how good that James Madison team was. Not a lot of teams that are just flipping their roster every year in this portal are being successful. Ohio State, I feel like, and I've always said that on this show, is I feel like they've used it perfectly. Mm-hmm. They filled holes that they needed where guys were needed, and then they got guys that were uber talented. If they were uber talented and want to come be a Buckeye, they got them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I know you can't have the depth like you used to. You can't have 6 4-stars, 5 stars in the wide receiver room anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. Identify the guys. Like, this year it seems like Ohio State has identified Jeremiah Smith and Chris Henry were the guys that they were going to build around.
Yeah.
And then we'll fill it out from there. Like, I've always loved Ohio State's approach to the transfer portal. I think some people have soured on it because they think, Indiana. I think it's different when a coach is coming and bringing guys with him, he's Agreed. Bringing that whole culture, not only his culture, but he's bringing guys that have been in it already, mm-hmm. and they can help the other guys.
Yeah, and guys in the case of Cignetti that knew that it worked because they won. So, like, they knew it. So that's a much easier ask. This one on social from Tracy, an update. We were curious about Ohio State wrestling. Next 2 weeks are going to be nuts. They're at home Friday against Iowa, and then at Penn State next Friday. Tracy writes, Penn State has the number one wrestler in 6 of the 10 weights in the country.
I had actually wrote that
Kale
down
Sanderson.
For three things at the end. So
wow. Yeah. But we had to get Tom on for Iowa, because that should be full house. That type of game, that type of a match should be full house. Even get Tom on at some point this week. Something happening in college basketball that could happen here in football, and I'm not really sure how we deal with it. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
I wish I'd gotten...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join The Fan weeknights at 6 for The Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State,
yes, yes it is.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hello? For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Mixing bleach with my floor cleaner would take the stain out.
When my youngest ate the dog's medicine, that was a new one.
I was trying to protect my garden, but I accidentally sprayed myself with pesticide.
So I called 1-800-222-1222, the poison helpline.
A poison expert helped me figure out what to do next.
I was connected to someone who spoke Spanish.
They answered my questions.
It was free.
It was confidential.
It was real help in real time.
Keep the poison experts in your pocket. 1-800-222-1222.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered snow showers on and off today, otherwise increasing clouds with highs finally getting in the upper 20s, although we can still feel like we are below zero with that wind chill. For tonight, chances of flurries linger, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 20s. And then for Tuesday, we'll have some more scattered snow showers possible, otherwise cloudy skies and highs finally getting up right around the freezing mark. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 80 years. So Saturday, 4:30. This past Saturday, Kansas played BYU. In the game was Darren Peterson, who's a Canton kid who played his first 2 years of high school at CVCA up in Northeast Ohio. He's the kid that I've seen in person when he was a sophomore, and I came on the air here on a Monday and said that's the best high school basketball player I've ever seen. Then played at Huntington Prep. Then he went out to California, signed a 7-figure deal with Adidas. I think he was the first high school kid to ever sign a sneaker deal with Adidas. So you knew Jake and all, everybody wanted him bad, but he ends up at Kansas. Kansas is an Adidas schools. You can connect the dots. AJ DeBonce is on the other side. So they're going to go 1-2 in the NBA draft. It's at Fog, which is probably the college basketball equivalent of the Shoe. I mean, it's as good as it gets from an atmosphere standpoint. It's that and Cameron that are different. And the first half of the game, Darren Peterson has 18 points, basically doesn't miss. He has a dunk on two people that is making the rounds on social media in terms of the highlight level of it. He's playing, and the two guys are playing in front of like every NBA executive. Every single team was available for it. And Kansas is up 20 at half, cruising. Go to start the second half, and Peterson goes up and down 4 or 5 times and then shuts it down. He just shuts it down. Calls himself out. I was watching when it happened, and Beamsy loves Kansas, and I go, buddy, he's coming out. He's like, how do you know? I go, he pointed to the bench. So they subbed him out at 16:46. He never returned. He did not return to the game. DeBonce stayed in. BYU cut it to 6 at one point with a couple of minutes to go. Kansas kind of was able to get through it and get the win. They end up winning the game by 10, but BYU came all the way back. And I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, this is probably the – and by the way, I guess I should add this part. This has been happening all the time with him. So he's missed 10 games this year with cramps or ankles and all this stuff, and Bill Self gets asked about it. By the way, Bill Self has his own health issues. Self gets asked about it at every press conference, and he says he's got a severe ankle injury. Well, quite honestly, it doesn't look like it. He clear from my perspective, my opinion, he's load managing is what he's doing, because he sat the entire second half with like heater things on his legs, and there was no chance he was going back in. He wasn't going to get on a treadmill. He wasn't staying active. Like, it was done. He was done at that point. My theory on this, and I don't have anything to back this up other than just the idea of, he's a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And if he has now, by the way, he's already being compensated as that by Kansas and by Adidas. But if you're Bill Self, how exactly do you handle this? He's the best player in the country. He plays 20 minutes against a very quality opponent, and you're up 20. Are those 20 minutes of him worth the hassle of all of this? Because trust me, with him, they can win a national title. They have everything you need with him to win a national title. And I think it's the most impressive job that Bill Self has ever done in coaching. The idea that he's basically coaching two teams, one with a super duper star who can get a bucket anytime he wants, and then another one that has to play without him for long, long stretches. And you say to yourself, what's to say that this doesn't happen in football? I mean, we've seen this where, I mean, JSN had a little bit of this, right? Where it's like, tweaked, I'm done. I'll see you on down the road. I'm a first-round pick. I'm not going to put it out into the ether of you-know-who, but like, you can't help but wonder, as I'm watching this, like, what pushback do you have if you're Bill Self?
I don't know if you have any.
I agree with you. I don't know how you do it, because now he's the type that he's won two national titles there. He's the all-time winning coach at Kansas, where that matters in a big, big way. And so he's trying to deal with it the best he can. But there's also the Adidas factor here. Like, Bill Self's compensated richly by Adidas.
You're serving so many masters.
That's what I'm saying. It's the craziest thing I've seen in college sports. It's one of the crazier things I've ever seen.
I think, to the point of them getting up 13 on a really good BYU squad, if you're Kansas, the expectation is every single year national championship. And so while the regular season kind of matters, Kansas is going to be a top seed, a one or a two. They've got Arizona on the 9th, I think, or sometime later this weekend, or maybe, I guess, 9th next Monday.
Yeah.
So that will matter. But the rest of it, you just get into the tournament, and if he's able to... you'll probably load manage the first couple of rounds.
It's crazy.
Because you're good enough to make the Sweet 16. You're good enough to make the Elite Eight with him playing those limited minutes. And it's not just you with that opinion. I think the general college basketball group think is he's load managing, and they're load managing him. Well, mostly it is at his request to make it to March, to have a good outing in March, and then you're in the NBA. Like, I did think of Carnell and Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they would... I don't think Jeremiah would ever load manage. I think if he's able to walk, he's playing. But you're looking at the bigger picture is exactly how I see what Kansas is doing with him and what Ohio State did with 4-17. The regular season just is a thing, not the thing you're chasing.
I definitely don't think 4 was in that boat, but there's a lot of people, a lot of whispers around 17.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe that's what was going on.
And I don't blame
on.
Them at all if that's the case.
And I remember in the past with Nick Bosa, people talked about, well, he's making a business decision here.
Yeah, there's another one.
He's shutting this down for the NFL. There's going to have to be something with all of this. And I know I despise it, but we're heading down the road of contracts in college sports. There's going to have to be things written in contracts where this isn't allowed. To me. For the good of the game, like, you can't you can't do this. And I was with a Kansas basketball fan this weekend.
Okay.
And she said she hates Darren Peterson. And he was playing in that first half, and she said, well, he's making it hard to hate him right now.
Right.
Like, and then he wasn't out there in the second half.
Mm-mm.
And the people in Kansas are frustrated with him. And frustrated with all of this right now. And I understand it. We want our players to be out there playing. But as you said, we have gotten to a point in all of these sports where the regular seasons don't matter at all. The only thing that matters is the playoff, or in basketball, the tournament. Get into the tournament and then we'll be fine. And I don't know, is Darren Peterson a guy that'll be like, ah, I don't know, it's feeling iffy here, probably can't go in the tournament?
I have no idea. I mean, it seems like, I just think it puts self in an impossible spot, because the other thing here is, like, let's say, and by the way, like, I know the athletic director at CVCA up there. My Beamsy plays AAU with his son. And so everything I've ever heard is Darren's like the best kid ever. Like, he still keeps in touch with the kids up there. He still comes back, gives back, and does camps and all of this stuff. And I understand it from their family standpoint, right? I mean, now, the thing that's really tricky here is he is being compensated. But if yourself, you can't make somebody play. You can't. He's shown enough to know that he's going to go number one or number two in the draft, and he's going to. And so you can't make him play. You can't prove health. If he says he doesn't feel right, then that's it. And that's what he does. He walks off and he just sits down, and that's it. And he sat the entire second half of the game. Now, he put it up on social, the celebration and all of it. And it's just, it might be one of those things. You brought up the Boses. You know, their attitude was always, unless we're 100%, we're not putting bad stuff on tape. They're just not. And this is a little different because it's hoops, I would say, but at the same time, there isn't really a great solution for this. And Self can't really, he really has his hands tied because of the Adidas part of it too. I was texting with Timmy Hall, and I were texting about it, and over the weekend, and it was like, man, I don't even know. I really don't know how you manage this. I don't know what you do here. The difference with the Bosa thing was, of course, he wasn't being compensated to play football at Ohio State. And this kid's getting paid to play. But we see this in the league all the time, too. Like, if I'm not 100%, I don't play. We see that in the association. So it's a really tricky spot. And if you – now, I'll tell you this. If you watch him play, it's a stunning thing to watch. He's in an unbelievable freshman class. He is – I mean, he had 18 at half.
He was electric in that first half.
He could have had 40. Every shot – he could have got any. He can get a shot anytime he wants it. He's one of the best mid-range shooters at that age I've ever seen. He attacks the rim. He dunks on people's heads. Like, yeah, he's going to go number one or two overall. But it's a heck of a what if to try to manage if you're, you know, one. And by the way, this is happening at Kansas. I mean, this isn't happening at Memphis or something like this. Is Kansas? This is happening at. It's wild. So if it can happen there, it can certainly happen anywhere. Austin Warden, 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends, right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Kids eat half off every Monday. Find a location and menu at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank Distillery.
And he joins on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, as he does every Monday at this time. Our good buddy Austin Ward joining us there. Ryan, a rare Friday coaches show. We got him on myriad subjects. What did you find most illuminating, my friend?
All of it. It's been over a month since we heard from Ryan Day directly in public on the record. So, you know, talking about the hiring process that he could have, I don't know, hinted that there was going to be one more over the weekend. That would have been even more illuminating, as he talked to, could have talked about special teams and Robbie Disher from Illinois. But, you know, that, what Arthur Smith brings, how that's going to work. You know, there were a few injury updates. We had already known about Bo Jackson, and you and I had talked about that a couple weeks ago for spring ball. Isaiah West in that same boat. So, you know, you tie those together. Arthur Smith is supposed to come in here and bring his run game expertise, and the top two running backs on the roster won't be able to really participate fully in spring ball. So that's not a deal breaker, but I think that's primarily where the interest is when you're looking at what is Arthur Smith supposed to be doing, what does Ohio State need to get done to enhance that rushing attack and then help, give more options to Julian Sain and maybe take some pressure off of the passing attack and all of that. But it starts with Arthur Smith because I think that's the biggest deal of this entire offseason for Ohio State.
Yeah, it certainly is, and hopefully there's another one that we get some formality on here, and we'll get to Matt in just a second in terms of assurances that he will be back. I think we're still waiting out one opening there on that side of things. But in terms of what you took from Ryan's comments on Arthur Smith, with that hire and now hearing Ryan discuss it, what does it tell you about what Ryan wants offensively next season?
I think he wants more explosiveness from the rushing attack, and I was trying to decide the right way to phrase it because you could say, well, they just need to be more consistent. I think that they were relatively consistent. They could get 4 yards pretty much every time. Like they were not a boomer bust rushing attack, which I think maybe that's part of the frustration. You would have liked to have seen some of the booms, and there was one long run for Bo Jackson at Purdue. It got called back by a block in the back, and like that was pretty much it. Like, it was a lot of 4, 5, and 6 yards, and not a lot of, well, it might go for 1 and it might go for 12. And I think, you know, you look at Arthur Smith's background and some of the success that he had with Derrick Henry and some other, you know, we can pick and choose from which year and which running back, but, you know, that's, I think, some of the variety in the scheme. You're trying to tap into more next-level hits, and that's not solely on the offensive line. That's not solely on Bo Jackson or Isaiah West or Jacoby Jackson. Not solely on Julian Sain. I just think the way the pieces fit together last year for the ground game were not cohesive enough that there was a point in October where it's like Ryan Day was saying they weren't scheming up explosives and that he was suggesting that they could. At the same time, you say, well, it's okay to make a play, and it doesn't have to be perfectly scripted in the playbook to this is going to go for 60 yards. You can make a guy miss. You can hit an extra block. You can give the extra effort as a tight end, whatever it is. And I think that's the part where he needs – I think what Chip Kelly did best 2 years ago, and not just Chip Kelly, but also I think we forgot about this. They were also replacing Justin Fry, who brought a lot of run game expertise to that as well. And missing both Chip Kelly and Justin Fry and going with Brian Hartline and Tyler Bowen last year, like those guys are both really sharp coaches, but are they considered run game gurus? Probably not in terms of their ability to work together. So that's the thing that Arthur Smith needs to do. There was mentioned on Friday night, Bo, that some of the things we talked about with the passing game with Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler, like that was why they were considered as potential in-house options. Now, that's not the way that Ryan Day went. And why is that? Because he knows that he needs to coordinate something that is balanced both with the run game and the passing attack. And that's really the charge and the job description that Arthur Smith is taking here.
When you hear Ryan say that, Julian's going to dive in and take the next step, what is the next step for Julian?
I think that it's – we've lauded his ability to diagnose defenses, to make the correct decision, and be accurate with the football. I think once he was sped up and faced some of this relentless pressure from Indiana and Miami – you know, again, that's why I don't fully put this on the offensive line. There's been so much conversation about it since really that first week in December. I don't think that Julian handled it perfectly, nor should he have been maybe expected to as a first-year starting quarterback. So, you know, some of this you're not going to be able to manufacture in spring ball or training camp, but you may not need to the level that they tried last year. I mean, he was live in spring camp. Ohio State knew that was going to be the thing at some point Julian Sain had to respond to, and the only way that you learn it by going through it. And so I think having that experience now and carrying that over into this offseason, there will be things that he sees, things that he does, and ways that they approach, you know, just playing the position throughout March and April that, you know, will be second nature to him in a way that they weren't a year ago. So some of this is not even necessarily what do the workouts have to look like? What what do you have to emphasize in the meeting room? That part will all be part of his development as a second-year starting quarterback. That's natural. I think the other part of it is also like just remaining on that development curve physically. He's I don't mean to pick on the quarterback sneaks, but he was not designed to move the pile last year, and that wound up costing them in a couple moments. So he's going to get stronger. I'm very curious if we get one of the offseason updates with Mickey Marotti and be like, hey, what would you like to do if you got to design anything, which he does? Him and Schlage can get together and say, well, what would you do? What are you going to make him do? How many calories are you going to make him eat? What's the squat goal? I'd be more curious about what they want to do in the strength program with Julian Sand than I have ever been with an Ohio State quarterback. And
yeah,
that's not a knock on Julian. That's just his frame is not the same as Will Howard. That's obvious. So, you know, what do you have to do to get him where you want him to go?
All right. The other thing that we're kind of waiting out here is the Matt Patricia, I mean, he's still here. He's under contract and he's recruiting. We see all of that. It was kind of my belief that if he was going to leave, it would probably be somewhere in the Northeast. So once Buffalo didn't go that way, I thought, okay, well, that's pretty safe. But Vegas is still out there. Tom Brady's out there, obviously. What is your sense on Matt in terms of him being back next year?
I still think it's more likely than not that Matt Patricia will be back. In the way that these negotiations go, I would imagine it's somewhat frustrating to be in Ryan Day's shoes, to be in Matt Patricia's shoes, because, you know, everyone is well within their rights to keep the options open. But as Las Vegas, which I think was and is the biggest contender for Matt Patricia because of the Tom Brady influence, because of their hiring process and going with Clint Kubiak and targeting him and having to wait until after the Super Bowl for him to be in place, that's kind of dragged this situation for Ohio State into February, which that was clear, you know, once the Seahawks won in the NFC Championship game that was going to be the case. You know, Ohio State's put an offer out there, but there is not dollars and cents in front of Matt Patricia from the Raiders at this point, and maybe there won't be. I don't know if the Brady influence will outweigh Clint Kubiak wanting to put his own defensive coordinator in place, if there are concessions that Kubiak made to Tom Brady to get the job in the first place, and maybe he wants the assistance and he wants some of the New England influence. I really don't know the answer to any of those questions, but you know, that's the part that won't really be determined until once we get past the Super Bowl. There can be some back channel conversations, and there have been already. But, you know, I do maintain the same thing that I said at the end of December or beginning of December, that Matt Patricia greatly enjoys being at Ohio State, has taken to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. The possibility that in the future he would not have to maybe go on the road as a recruiter would be even better for someone with his family and wanting to stay in Columbus and put those roots down. So that I can't guarantee he'll be back. It would be foolish of me to do so. But he has done everything that his job requires at this point. He's done right by Ohio State and by his family in this process by leaving the door open. I still don't assign any blame to anybody. And I think there's a very good chance that this ends the way Ohio State wants it to, but we'll have to wait probably another week before we know.
Get you out of here on this one. This Wednesday is National Signing Day. This used to be, and you and I are old enough to remember when this was really the Super Bowl of recruiting. It was so much fun. I loved it from a content standpoint, and I just loved covering it. Do you think college coaches would go back to an only February signing day if it meant a calendar that made sense? Would they have that sacrifice?
Feels like, that was... When we think back about all the dominoes that have tipped over, and it was the coaches that were advocating for the early signing period because they didn't want all of the madness of going on the road and doing official visits in January. And I think that they probably have some regrets about that. And it would probably be better in everyone's interest to move it back or to have it in the summer or August, like pretty much anywhere other than where it is right now.
Yeah.
I think the coaches would want that. But it is funny because when you hear the complaints, and a lot of them are incredibly justified with the chaos of January and the difficulty of December for teams that are still in the playoff. But when coaches lament how out of control it is, they were really the ones that advocated for this first move that created all the other chaos, which was moving up the coaching carousel into the season. And it's a be careful what you wish for situation. I don't know. There are like AFCA meetings and proposals to streamline the calendar, change the calendar. We know that Mark D'Antoni has ideas about that and how the Buckeyes would like to see it implemented. I don't know how likely any of that truly is at this point, because no one can even agree on who's making the rules in the first place, which is why none of them are being enforced. So that's the short answer to that one. But I do think when you look at it, Bo, they would probably want that back, and it would probably make their lives a lot easier.
I think you're right on that, my friend. Great stuff as always, buddy. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Have a great week. See ya.
All right, there he goes. Austin Ward, the beat with Austin Berm and Letterman Row, joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. 92-82 Wisconsin over Ohio State. Certainly, Jake, it was a great start for your basketball team, but when Wisconsin's defense does what it does, especially to John Moby, that has to make it a difficult deal.
Well, you know, our biggest issue was on the defensive end today. I mean, we scored enough points to be able to at least have a chance to win on the road, and we didn't get enough stops. And so, the things we talk about, we just didn't have that level of execution and attention to detail. And, you know, there were a couple loose balls that we didn't get that they did, a couple unnecessary fouls that were just complete mental errors. That's the disappointing thing for me today. We did some good stuff offensively, obviously scored enough. And we did that, you know, in spite of, you know, a couple guys struggling. So defensively, we've got to be better.
All right. We'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
It's the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
92-82, the final, Wisconsin with a victory over Ohio State.
Coach, when you look at trying to find a lineup on both ends of the floor to be better defensively and offensively, Christoph Tilley was not himself, 0-8, but you also look at his backup, Yvonne Nagovin. What does that force you to do when you're not getting the productivity from the five spot, when your centers are not producing points?
Well, we tried to go smaller because, you know, we were in a situation where we were getting spread out, so we tried to go smaller so we could switch some and be able to pressure a little bit more and take away some of the threes they got in that stretch when those guys were in. And, you know, they didn't have their best game, but they both have had some great moments for us. They'll respond because they care and they're really good players, and they work hard, and that's what we need to do now. We need to respond.
It's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through February 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Corolla or Corolla Hybrid. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a new gas-powered Corolla LE for $209 a month for 36 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota.
Let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Looking to sell your...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
The NFL announced Monday it's reached a multi-year deal to keep playing football games at Real Madrid's Santiago Bernabeu Stadium. Didn't immediately say the length of the new agreement, but which teams will play in 2026. The first NFL regular season game in Spain was played at the Bernabeu back in November. The Dolphins beat the Commanders before a crowd of 78,610. Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, this is going to be regular going forward. So you're going to play games in Munich. You're going to play games in Madrid. You're going to play games in Paris. A lot of social media chatter that the Browns are heading to Paris this year against the Saints. And obviously they're going to play a couple of games in London. So this is going to be part of it. I think inevitably what's going to happen is you're going to get to an 18-game regular season in the NFL that includes every team going to Europe or Brazil at least once, maybe even Mexico City at least once, one game out of country for every team in the league. You're going to have two bye weeks for every team, and you're going to decide the Super Bowl the Sunday of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So that's, or is it President's Day? Martin Luther King, yeah. So that's the way I think it's going to shake out, is like that. So yeah, more of this. They have elite stadiums, and this is kind of the only way to grow the sport. It seems like they've kind of punted on, for the longest time we thought that there would be a team in London. It seems like they've kind of punted on that, and they're just going to do this instead.
So I don't think this is a thing just because we all kind of knew this was coming, right? Like, they're just going to continue to do more and more and more games overseas and in Europe and Germany and all those places. So I don't think this is a major thing. Bo, the one thing I think that is interesting here, though, is when they skipped ahead to a 17-game season, mm-hmm. wasn't this part of the thinking that everybody could keep their 8 home games, they'd have their 8 away games, and then everybody would play a neutral game yeah. overseas every year? Well, we're going to blow that by that going to 18 games at some yeah. point. But I thought that was the reason for the odd number of games, was so nobody had to worry about losing a home game when they played these games overseas.
Yeah, I mean, you still have teams lose them with 17. I think that what you're going to see is, I think the 17 games was a olive branch because they weren't ready to hit the players' union over the head with 18, but they will soon enough.
According to the U.S. Geological Survey,
okay.
there were 14 earthquakes that rocked the Bay Area this morning. The largest was a 4.2 magnitude earthquake.
Whoa.
For those wondering why that's important, well, the Bay Area is going to host Super Bowl 60 on Sunday, and a lot of reporters for the NFL, including our guest at 11:30, Nate Davis, have made their way out to the Bay for Sunday, and I guess for this week's festivities. Thing or not a thing?
Theoretically, that would be a massive thing. I'm old enough to remember when a World Series was disrupted in San Francisco by a massive earthquake between that was the Bay Series, where it was the A's against the Giants. And so I remember that very well as a kid and how terrifying all of that was. We're in a weird spot weather-wise, man. Like, half the country's completely frozen, abnormally high temperatures, and like where my dad lives, and earthquakes. 14 earthquakes, did you say? Good grief. That's a lot going on.
And none of them were big, as Reese mentioned, 4.2, the biggest one. But still, an earthquake is an earthquake, and especially a lot of people out there that I think a lot of people that live out in the Bay Area are used to it. There's a lot of people out there that aren't used to it right now.
Well, have you guys ever felt one? Have you ever been in an earthquake?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I've been told that I've been in some area that an earthquake has had. Yeah. Like, it has recorded. Like, most of the tremors that were felt this morning were for the 2.5 to 3.9 range, yeah. Which the Chronicle says reports of damage were not immediately available, but residents in the area report windows rattling.
So I was in one in Palm Desert once. Amy's folks have a place out there, and I was in one there. And it's a pretty, it's a crazy thing when the ground shakes and you're standing on it. It's pretty crazy. It wasn't a massive one, but it was one that we definitely felt. I can't even remember where it registered, but one that you definitely felt. And all of a sudden, like, stuff on the walls starts to shake. I mean, it's unnerving, to say the least.
Bo, like you, the first thing I thought of when I heard this, though, was the 89 World Series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how that was live on the air and yeah. just craziness. I did see another friend of the program, John Breach, tweet about this and say, I knew I should have took the earthquake safety course before I headed out to San Francisco.
NBA trade deadline is Thursday at 3 o'clock on Sunday. The Cavs sent forward DeAndre Hunter to the Kings as part of a three-team deal that included the Bulls. Cleveland gets guards Dennis Schroeder and guard Keon Ellis. The Bulls get Dario Saric and two future second-round picks. Thing or not a thing?
I would assume that this is because they can't count on Darius Garland to play consistently, and so this is going to be their answer to let's get Donovan off the ball a little bit. Is probably what it is. It's funny because a year ago we were lauding the DeAndre Hunter acquisition as like maybe that's the final piece to a championship team, and it obviously didn't happen. The injuries caught up to them. I saw Jared Allen had a massive game yesterday, and I wonder, like, could he be on the move too? So they have a window in the East in that they're the most experienced team that's won the most that's relatively healthy. Boston still doesn't have Tatum, so there's Detroit that's out there, but are there pieces that they could put together to make a run at this thing? And I think if this group of Cavaliers just got to a finals, I don't think you got to win it because I don't think they're good enough to beat any of the West teams. But if they just get there, I think that would be viewed as a heck of a success for this era.
So I honestly don't pay enough attention to Cavs basketball this year to know how this is going. I know my buddy who, when he heard the news, was not happy because he likes DeAndre Hunter. I know Dennis Schroeder has been a quality player in this league and a quality depth guy for a long time. He's had some good years in the NBA. Reese, I was talking to you and Tyvus earlier. Both of you guys don't seem to mind this move, and you especially don't mind it because of Max Strus. You don't know if you're going to get him back this year.
Yeah, so that's another thing along with Garland not being reliable from a health standpoint. It feels like Max Strus was December, then January, then February, maybe after the All-Star break, and Tyvus was confident to think they'll bring him back in March. So that's clear as mud. And I think, yeah, the move they made yesterday, because Jalen Tyson's emerged as of late, kind of negating DeAndre Hunter's minutes. So it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. All right, final hour of the program. And speaking of that earthquake, Nate Davis is out in San Francisco. See if he felt it. He'll join us coming up in 35 minutes. We blitz the weekend first. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The NFL's coaching carousel is coming to a halt as we enter Super Bowl week. ESPN's Adam Schefter says the Las Vegas Raiders will hire Seattle offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak after the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. The Cardinals are going to hire LA Rams OC Mike Shula, and the Browns locked down Todd Monken last week. Cleveland's going to officially introduce their new head coach at a press conference tomorrow at noon. Super Bowl 60 is Sunday at 6:30 at Levi's Stadium. We'll have the Patriots and the Seahawks right here on The Fan with coverage Sunday after Ohio State men's basketball. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets have two more games until the Olympic break. CBJ ride their five-game winning streak to New Jersey to battle the Devils on Tuesday. They'll host Chicago on Wednesday. Zach Werenski will skate for Team USA in the Olympics. Group C play begins next Wednesday against Elvis Merzlikins and Team Latvia. In college hoops, Ohio State plays at Maryland Thursday night. You can hear from Ohio State's head coach today at noon on the Jake Diebler Radio Show right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Monday edition of the program. Nate Davis, USA Today, going to join us from out in San Francisco on the Super Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday. Time now to blitz the weekend. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present a Weekend Sports Blitz.
I believe I had that. Bake, what'd you have?
I believe I had that outdoor hockey is great. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's always the best hockey, but it's just fun. They put on a show, the spectacle of it. It's cool seeing these guys out in the elements where they probably first started playing hockey. The game was crazy between the Lightning and the Bruins yesterday. A 5-1 lead. Tampa Bay comes back. Just everything about the Stadium Series or Winter Classics, their home runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I've necessarily had, but we've said for a while the Mid-American Conference is usually is deserving of two bids yes. in the NCAA tournament. That's never been more so the case than this season, as the Miami Redhawks are now, 22-0? Team in the Mid-American Conference has won more games in the regular season. They dispatched Northern Illinois over the weekend. It was a sellout crowd in Oxford. You could and should get Miami and Akron, who's 18-4, into the NCAA tournament.
It's time. It's time to make this right.
Since 99, the Max only put one team in.
Yeah. It's utter bush league that this is the case. Miami is legit as can be. They flat out shoot it. I love seeing that full house. I thought that was so cool to see. Great job out of them. Really, really cool job out of them. I believe I had it. I came on here, I don't know, 4 years ago or whatever, and said Darren Peterson's the best high school basketball player I've ever seen in person. He's the best high school basketball player the state of Ohio has produced since LeBron James, and on a very, very short list with Jimmy Jackson. And some of the others through the year, Jerry Lucas, John Havlicek. Who knows if he'll have that type of pro career, but as a prospect, he is every bit worthy of that. And if you have any doubt, watch him play for a half, and then you'll see. That's about all you get. But his half is about as brilliant as you're going to watch on the college basketball side of things. I did not have that, Bake. What did you not have?
I did not have that we would see a goalie fight. Yeah. In the outdoor game. We had not had a goalie fight in the NHL since the 2020 season. I believe it was like March. Well, maybe a little before March. Maybe January of 2020 was the last goalie fight we had seen. We've had two now in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And some big-time goalies involved. Bob Vasilevsky. All the Russian goaltenders going at it here in the league. That was awesome to see those two dudes and then see them in the handshake line after, have a chuckle about it. That was pretty fun.
Well, it's just so funny watching them fight because they're like when they put kids in those sumo outfits.
Yeah.
You know, they really can't land much, you know?
I didn't have the Cavs would be this early in the trade cycle. So Thursday at 3:00 from the association. Yeah, I think it was a good move that they made. I just didn't think they would be as active as early. But you're thinking more of like a Wednesday or a Thursday right up into the deadline. But thrilled for Kobe Altman. You can acquire pieces that I think will help you before the playoffs. And then your roster will be a little bit more finalized for the postseason. But I guess it also puts them under that tax apron that I'm positive Dan Gilbert knows nothing about.
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
Which is good because you want your billionaire owner to spend money on this team.
Yep, absolutely. I did not have this. So my buddy who I coached NBC's teams with all the way through sixth grade, he has a third grader, and they were playing in their league tournament over the weekend. And in the second half of the game, his son was going up for a rebound, and a kid on the opposing team, no names please, legitimately karate chopped him right in the neck. Like, whack. So I did not have that kids even knew how to karate chop anymore. And then the crazy thing about it was, I did not have the referees throwing him out, but they should have. Absolutely. They should have. But they threw the kid. The coach was incredulous, I think, until he saw the coach of the opposing team was incredulous until he saw the video. And he was like, oh, so never seen a karate chop from a third grader before, right to the neck head area. And then good job out of the official for seeing it and getting the kid out. And hopefully there's a lesson about how to behave that's taught here by somebody in a parental perspective.
We're talking wax on.
Third grade.
Third grade.
It was karate chop. Like, karate chop. Didn't even know kids had seen Karate Kid. Player that impressed, Bake.
I know that Darren Peterson and AJ DeBanza were all the talk of this game over the weekend. Richie Saunders almost stole the show, though, for BYU. He was lights out in this game, 33 points, 10 rebounds. He just about single-handedly brought BYU back to a victory in this game.
Yeah, he did. He shot it.
Baker, you had mentioned the goalie fight in the stadium series yesterday. Andre Vasilevsky is the player who impressed the most for me, because not only did he instigate that fight, but Boston led 5-2 at that point. And Tampa came all the way back and won. Was it Jake Guentzel with the shootout goal? That was an awesome game, and it brought back so many fun memories of what happened in Columbus last season for that stadium series. More outdoor hockey, please.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, the one in Penn State was awesome, too. On the college side of it, that was cool, too.
Yeah.
LeBron James made All-Star game number 22. And he deserves to. 22-6-6. And even if he didn't, he should make it anyway, based on contribution. They've done this with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and some other guys when they're making their retirement tour. I have no idea if this is a retirement tour or not for LeBron James, but the idea that he's been doing this for 22 years at this level and being an all-star, we're never going to see anything else like this. This is a one-time off deal. You'll never see anybody do it again.
Did you see how many combined all-star game appearances the Eastern Conference starters have?
Not many, I would think.
22.
Is it? I was going to say, because it's a lot of new faces. I would imagine the West is going to run roughshod over that one. They're pretty loaded on the Western side. Player who disappointed. Go ahead, Bake.
For me, and maybe it's not his own fault, I kind of feel like probably is, but Darren Peterson. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the matchup of all matchups this weekend. Everybody who is a college basketball fan, and everybody maybe who is not a college basketball fan, they were tuning in to see these two guys go head-to-head for 40 minutes. He only got 20.
No.
That's a bummer. It. And again, if he's legitimately hurt and dealing with something, I feel bad for questioning him, but I'm not so sure that's the case.
Punxsutawney Phil, you have one job. It's to not see your shadow. He saw his shadow this morning. Be more like Buckeye Chuck, Marion's finest. Did not see his shadow. So you've got dueling rodents with differing opinions on how winter's going to go.
I don't know how you would do this. Maybe, I mean, Meredith's pretty busy, but you'd need someone like Meredith to track this down. Like, this feels to me like the coldest average temperature to start a year that I've lived in Ohio. That's what it feels like to me. Now, I don't know if that's real or not. I don't even know how you track it down. But it feels like that to me. Player disappointed. So speaking of youth sports, we were playing in a tournament over the weekend, and our fourth graders won by 10. Had a nice game and won by 10. And actually, maybe more than that. Might have been more like 14, 16. I'm not sure. And they don't have a whole lot of wins this year. One of the kids on the other team in the handshake line was swinging as hard as he could to shake hands, and every time saying, "You suck." Now, we won by 14. And the kid is swinging as hard as he can. "You suck, you suck, you suck, you suck." Good God. What is going on with this? Is 10-year-olds, man. They're 10-year-olds. Like, where is that getting in his head that's a good behavior? And I didn't intervene because, quite honestly, with youth sports, it's hard. You're worried about your own kids. You can't worry about everybody else's, too. But just a crazy, crazy thing to see. Bud Kelmer, Honorary Coach of the Week. Who do you got, Bake?
I mean, I'm sounding like a broken record here. But it's the bonus bump. Third week in a row, it's the bonus bump. The Jackets have won 5 straight, 8 of 9 with him at the helm. I mean, Rick Bonus pushing all the right buttons.
Yeah, I think Bonus is the obvious choice. I'm going to give it to Kevin McGuff. Only 2 teams in the Big Ten have 20 wins as we are on the second day of February. Ohio State's one of them, UCLA the other. The Lady Bruins haven't lost a game in conference play yet, but the basketball Buckeyes 9-2 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're getting it done. Tom Ryan deserves some love here, too, as the number 2 wrestling team is still undefeated on the season with Iowa and then at Penn State happening the next couple of weeks. I'm going to go Todd Monken on this one. Got a chance to see him on Friday, and I think that his energy, his accountability, and the way that he is going to project his influence on this team is something Browns fans are going to like a lot. And I think it's going to be welcome. I would say if you take the press conference, and it's going to be tomorrow at noon, if Rothman and I dip in on any of it, I would say make sure for nephew Cole that you have the dump button ready, because I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of S and F's are probably said in it because he just can't help himself. But it'll be a fun introductory press conference tomorrow up in Cleveland. That one is at noon. And speaking of Todd Monken, his staff coming into focus, we will go over that. And now it appears that all of the jobs have been filled in the national football side of things. Who knocked it out of the park? Who leaves a lot to be desired? We will get to that coming up next. Fishman Friends, right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up?
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered snow showers on and off today, otherwise increasing clouds with highs finally getting in the upper 20s, although we could still feel like we are below zero with that wind chill. For tonight, chances of flurries linger, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 20s. And then for Tuesday, we'll have some more scattered snow showers possible, otherwise cloudy skies and highs finally getting up right around the freezing mark. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, we got the MIT kids on it, and Bake, they've reported to you we have some answers on coldest Januaries.
Yeah, this was just some quick Google searching here in the break. So we this January, the average temperature in Columbus, Ohio, was approximately 19.3 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah. That's an average of about 4.8 degrees colder than the typical. And then we've got the coldest average temperature for January in Columbus, Ohio, was recorded in 1977 at 19.3 degrees.
Oh, so, baby. So we're right.
We're right there.
Yeah, we nailed
right
it.
There.
I knew it had to be. It just, I don't recall like so little days that start with a four to start a year. It's usually something where every once in a while you get a couple warm up and you get a couple of 42s and you get a little sun and you melt the snow off. But it's going to be dicey. I was looking at the extended. It's not until the week at like next week, towards the end of the week, you'll have some chances in the 40s. But that's kind of it. And we've got snow chances throughout a lot of this week. So it's going to be here to stay, I think, boys.
I feel like the last couple of years, like mid-January to mid-February, has been where we've really been hit with the cold temperatures. And we're right there right now.
And I think it's made worse because I remember back in 2008, but it wasn't this cold. You got a bunch of snow.
Yeah.
But it was gone pretty quickly. And by pretty quickly, I mean within the week. You're going to go 2 weeks with the same amount of snow. I was driving down Northwest Boulevard last week trying to scope out my chair for the 4th of July parade, and I saw trucks that were getting snow dumped into them to take them away.
Yeah.
Just, you got to move the snow. Where are you moving it? I don't know. Move it away.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
There's got to be mountains of snow everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be, in parking lots and so forth. So, yeah, not going anytime anywhere soon. This happening while we're in the break as well, the NFL confirming that the New Orleans Saints will be a team that plays in Paris this year. I mentioned this in passing in the previous segment. A lot of internet sleuths were passing around a graphic that had the Browns playing the Saints in Paris this year. A lot of people quickly kind of dissuaded that, but the Browns do play the Saints this year. So, on the season, they're on the schedule. So that would seem to be, a lot of smoke around the idea of that. It doesn't really affect me much. I mean, sometimes it's nice to have that game at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Like, it doesn't really affect. I don't know if it affects the teams coming out of it. I'm always interesting, like, strategically, do they prefer, you know, the bye week coming out of it or a bye week going into it? Like, How do you handle all that? And then there's various ways to handle the travel. Like when Kevin Stefanski was the coach of the Browns and he went overseas to play, or even if he went to West Coast, a lot of times he would go 2 days in advance. And the 1 year, 2 years ago, they spent the whole week in Los Angeles in the middle of the season just to get used to the time change. So be very curious to see what Todd Monken's kind of approach to all of that is. The NFL coaching carousel has gone round and round and now appears to be done. Your final jobs have been filled, reportedly. Sounds like Clint Kubiak is going to be the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. He's the offensive coordinator of Seattle. This was the easiest one to track ever, because if you watched Brady call the Seahawks-Rams game, the amount of praise that he had for Kubiak and his brilliance was pretty overwhelming. And I suppose if you are another NFL owner, like, that sort of tampering, does it matter or not? I don't know. I mean, he's certainly not supposed to do that, but you can collect a lot of dots between it. So Kubiak will be the coach in Vegas. He cannot do so until after the Super Bowl. That can't be made official. The Arizona Cardinals have hired Rams offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur. He's the head coach there, as that job will take place. Is that one official yet with LaFleur?
I saw it on ESPN, so I'm assuming.
Did they have it as reportedly, or did they have it as
well
hired?
Like, it's just the will hire.
Okay.
Shula.
Okay. No, not Shula. LaFleur.
Oh, LaFleur.
Yeah. Mike Shula. I don't know where Mike Shula is. Was it Mike Shula the head coach at Alabama for a while before Saban saved it?
Different Shula. Yeah, Arizona Cardinals have hired Mike LaFleur.
Yeah. Mike Shula is the defensive coordinator there, right? I'm pretty sure. With the Rams. So LaFleur will be the coach of the Cardinals going forward. That's another one of those operations that's got some massive questions in terms of who's playing quarterback. That one, the one in Miami as well. Like, do you move off of those guys? What does all of that look like? Another big trend in this process has been 5-year deals for coaches. That means every single coach of the 10 who were hired all got 5-year deals. Those happened before, but not at this level of where all 10 got 5-year deals. Typically 3- and 4-year deals is what it used to be in the NFL. But the agents have gotten together and they say, look, you need 5, and they've played this thing pretty perfectly. So you're going to get 5-year deals on all of these guys going forward. Of course, for NFL coaches, if they want to fire anybody, NFL owners rather, if they want to fire anybody, they can make those fires pretty easily. They got plenty of cash to work on. Up in Berea, Todd Monken will have his introductory press conference tomorrow at noon as your head coach of your Cleveland Browns. His staff starting to come together a little bit. Sounds like Travis Switzer is going to be the offensive coordinator. He was most recently with Baltimore. George Warhop as well. I know Joe Thomas loves Warhop, so he's coming in as well. He's been a professional offensive line coach for 30 years. Pass game coordinator Danny Breyer comes over. A lot of connections to his current staff, or the staff that he was on in Baltimore. Quarterback coach Mike Bajakian comes in. He was the Michigan State quarterback coach, and then tight end coach Jeff Blasco, most recently with the Jets as the tight end coach. Daniel Stern will be your associate head coach. So that is kind of how that staff is starting to come together. You're still waiting on the rest of the defensive staff. And of course, you're talking about Jim Schwartz. Reportedly, Schwartz met with Browns ownership at the end of last week, and it seems like they're just kind of in wait and see mode on that. I don't know how much longer you can wait. I would imagine you'd want an answer from Schwartz before tomorrow when Todd Monken is introduced to the media up there.
Yeah, I was also going to say, will Monken be the primary play caller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jim Schwartz thing, if he doesn't want to be there, it's not like you can just say, well, you're under contract.
He's got two choices, really. He can either coach the defense with the Cleveland Browns. He can not coach next season, or I suppose theoretically they could trade him. For example, if Philadelphia who just fired their defensive coordinator and obviously has ties there, would that be one where you trade, you know, Schwartz to another team for picks, for compensation? Those are kind of the three options. So he's either going to remain the defensive coordinator in Cleveland, he's going to not coach this year, or theoretically he would have to be traded to another NFL team for compensation. Those are your three options.
When I heard the news about the Browns' new associate head coach, I thought, wait a second, isn't Daniel Stern Marv from Home Alone? I didn't know he got into coaching football, but I hope they can get the Jim Schwartz thing figured out and he can come back. I still think it's kind of crazy that they thought, I don't know if they thought, I just get, it seems like they thought that they could hire someone else and he would be fine coming back. But I hope they can work it all out. Denzel Ward at the Pro Bowl had some great things to say about Jim Schwartz, and Denzel obviously loves him a lot and said he really wants him to be his defensive coordinator. So I hope that cooler heads prevail, and I understand why Schwartz would be upset, but hopefully they can work something out to keep him there.
Daniel Stern's hit rate, the actor, is pretty high.
It's pretty good.
You got Marv in Home Alone 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's in the third one. Did they run those guys back in the third one?
No, I don't believe they were.
All right, so you got Home Alone 1 and 2. He's City Slickers. He's great in City Slickers. And he's the voiceover in Stand By Me.
Another movie he was fantastic in, I thought, was Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great role.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good hit rate. Let me see. Let me pull up a little IMDb of this cat. He's only 68. Just 68 years old. Oh, gosh, he's the voiceover of the Wonder Years, too.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Holy smokes. Maybe I have that wrong. Maybe I'm confusing Wonder Years and Stand By Me. It's hard to imagine that he did the voiceover for both, right? Yeah, City Slickers, Wonder Years, Home Alone. He was in For All Mankind, which was a series on Apple. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good run out of him.
He's got a credit as the old man in A Christmas Story 2, and today I learned there was A Christmas Story 2 and a Home Alone 3.
You didn't know the Home Alone 3?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, my kids are like, if they see the first one, they think we got to see the sequel.
Of course.
And we learned last night that the sequel to Romancing the Stone did not hold up to the first one. Like, the Jewel of the Nile, not quite as good.
Wasn't the kid in Home Alone 3 the same kid in Liar Liar?
Could be.
I feel like that was the same kid, if I remember.
He did not do voiceover in Stand By Me. Let's do a quick Google.
Somebody on the YouTube chat says that was Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, it was Dreyfuss. Yeah, that's a good job out of the chat. You guys seen Stand By Me?
No.
Really? Big, how are you a child of that age and not see Stand By Me? Reese, I get, because he's a little younger, but that was like a formidable coming of age, probably the formidable coming of age, very in similar line as Goonies, kind of add all that to it. Some great stuff in it. I don't think I've watched that yet with the boys. I may have to run that out as potentially something to see here, because my hunch is it will hold up quite well, and I think it's appropriate for all ages as my memory serves. Last night when we were watching Jewel of the Nile, I was remembered that in those days, you remember if any of your parents ever get National Geographic magazine as a kid, or grandparents?
Grandparents did.
Yeah.
And there was always, a lot of times there's a little bit of nudity in those. So we got a little bit of that. I was trying to get quick on the fast forward, but as I hit fast forward, it froze right on tribal frontal. So that was a real treat for Bootsy.
That was like when we were in high school, when I think you had to watch The Scarlet Letter, and there's a scene like that, and I don't think the teacher knew it was coming, and then the teacher jumped up in front of the TV trying to block it. Like, what are we doing here?
We've all seen it, ma'am. We've all seen it. Nate Davis from San Francisco in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Visit with our good buddy Nate Davis, covering the NFL on national level at USA Today and out in the Bay Area. Buddy, thank you so much for taking the time, as always. Did you feel the earthquakes?
No, apparently the jet lag or my ability to sleep served me well. So, no, I had no idea.
Crazy, crazy. Upwards of 14 of them out there, as much as a 4.2, it sounds like, on the Richter scale. Obviously, this is going to, with the cold temperatures around the country, not like the Super Bowl needs any more audience anyway, but buddy, I have a thinking this one could break all the records with, when you factor everything in. When you go back to how you thought this season would kind of play out, which one of these two combatants is most surprising to you that they are here?
I don't think I had either one of them making the playoffs, though. But they were both. They were both kind of on the borderline. I mean, I thought the Patriots would. I think I pegged them for about 8 wins, which would have been double what they had a year ago. Obviously, they had a bunch of cap space. They had the quarterback. I just didn't think it would come together in a year. Certainly, the schedule helped a little bit, and they don't like hearing that. But I mean, they've only got. Well, only one win against a team with a winning record going into the playoffs, and they've had some advantageous circumstances here in the playoffs. But hey, they're in their way. They played who was in front of them. Seattle, maybe is a bigger surprise just because I thought the NFC was a little bit more just seemed more top heavy. They missed the playoffs by a tiebreaker last year, and I thought Mike McDonald kind of fundamentally changed a lot of things with the team this year, and I thought they were not really geared to be a Mike McDonald team a year ago, but still managed to win 10 games. New quarterback, new players. I thought they were probably a year away from serious contention. Two surprise entries, but two really good teams, should be a fun game.
Is there any lesson that can be learned from Sam Darnold's journey?
I'm sure there are. I mean, obviously, teams giving up on players too quickly could maybe be one. But I think it's also just, you draft a young quarterback with the expectation he's going to be your franchise player. You've got to put support around him. And, he actually didn't have a bad rookie year with the Jets, but I think people forget that's when Todd Bowles was still there. Mm-hmm. And then they just kind of completely abandoned him when they brought in Adam Gase and were just completely wasted years in New York. And I wrote about it at the time. Like, I really thought they should have kept Sam because, I mean, he played well with the Jets at times. You saw it in spurts. And I get the whole resetting the quarterback contractual clock, but I thought they should have traded that number two pick in 2021, which I wrote then, or draft Jamar Chase or Micah Parsons or Penei Sewell. Give the guy a little bit of help. And they didn't do that. So I think, I think if you're going to build your team around a young quarterback and everyone wants that rookie contract, I get it. But you at least got to put the pieces around him. And, the Jets didn't have it. The Panthers didn't have it. And I really give Sam a lot of credit for being able to stick it through. And, I guess he's got two general managers fired now with the Vikings, too. I mean, it's completely crazy that they didn't hang on to him. I mean, I wrote last year, a year ago, well, obviously they're going to franchise him. At least you got a bird in hand, right, or mm-hmm. whatever. It is one of the most unique journeys in NFL history, and he is a solid, solid good dude. I mean, it wasn't like a quarter, locker room cancer kind of thing. Like, he's also a great guy that you want, and teammates love him. So it's just crazy the way his whole thing's played out.
Yeah, I can't think of anything historically quite like this in terms of dumped by that many teams and then somehow elevating to this spot. And I think sometimes I have this theory, family out in Seattle, and I've always had this theory that I think because it's so remote, it's hard for people to consistently pay attention to what's going on out there. And maybe we should have paid more attention to what Mike McDonald has done out there, because I really like the Rams this year to win the NFC, and Stafford played pretty much two perfect games against Seattle. And they lost them both. And that to me was like, wow, think about it. Because normally Seattle, it was the suffocating defense, the run game, all of it. They got in shootouts with the Rams the last two times they played them, and they won them both. There's a clutch meter to them that's hard to kind of wrap your head around.
Again, I'm a terrible guest on your show because you and I see the NFL world the same way so often. Yeah, I thought the Rams were the best team too. Aside from the special teams flaws, but I had the Seahawks right there at number two. And I agree with what you said. And don't forget about the fact that Sam had that terrible game in L.A. when he threw four picks. They missed a long field goal at the end of that game, which would have won it. I think going into the championship game, the Rams outscored the Seahawks like 58-57 or something overall, and outgained them by a yard. But the Seahawks had seven turnovers and the Rams had one. So, I mean, they hadn't played their best game against them. I got family in Seattle too. And I mean, I really kind of enjoyed covering the Legion of Boom teams. And Bobby Wagner is one of my favorite guys in the league. I think a lot of West Coast teams maybe get short shrift sometimes. And, those of us on east of the Mississippi maybe don't always make it through the 10 o'clock start on Monday nights that they do out there sometimes and that kind of thing. But, I covered the Ravens when Mike McDonald was there. He's a great coach. I mean, some people kind of put him in that defensive version of Sean McVay category. And I think he kind of needed a year to get his legs underneath him and then kind of learn how to be the CEO of a program. But he's there. I mean, you bring in guys like Cooper Kupp to augment your program. I mean, that's really helping build your culture. And, you know, I don't know. I hope we get a good game this week. I'm sure we probably will, but I did kind of feel probably like you're saying, but I felt like the NFC Championship game was probably going to end up being your de facto Super Bowl.
Yeah, it felt like it, but then at the same time, you never doubt Vrabel. They somehow have figured it out. You talked about the schedule or lack thereof, but it's not their fault that some injuries happened in the AFC, obviously. I got to know Mike a little bit when he was here at Ohio State and then a little bit last year when he was with the Browns, and I knew that's the spot. I mean, it was just such a no-brainer that he was going to go back to New England. He obviously revered his time there. And then Drake May was better than I think people thought. But Mike Vrabel is such a culture tornado. It's really remarkable to me that he was ever let go in Tennessee. And while I didn't have him in the Super Bowl, buddy, I certainly thought that he would give an immediate shot of adrenaline and accountability to that franchise.
Yeah, like I said, I pegged them to double their win total, the eight wins, and I kind of thought they would be on that wild card kind of fringe. Certainly didn't think they were going to be the second seed in the playoffs. But like you said, yeah, culture guy. I mean, these Patriots, like they're not like a new iteration of the Belichick Patriots. He is a much different kind of a head coach, despite the fact that he was such a key part of kind of the first half of that dynasty there. But I think they're going to be here for a while. I mean, Drake may be in the young player that he is, and then they're going to have the cap room to continue to be able to build around him. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they start swinging trades for, not reporting anything here, but I mean, you can see them after guys like Trey Hendrickson to kind of augment the program and shore up some weaknesses. And, you know, do they go after a guy like A.J. Brown this offseason? Again, not reporting anything, but I mean, he and Mike Vrabel were together in Nashville, and you could see that being a good fit and something that maybe they could use there. But yeah, I think, you know, for people that had Patriots fatigue the first time, you know, don't be surprised if you're going to get it again here soon.
Talking to our great friend Nate Davis, NFL nationally at USA Today on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. What did you make of the Todd Monken hire in Cleveland?
Kind of, I guess, uninspired. You know, we'll see what he can do. I mean, obviously, there's still a lot to be figured out there in Cleveland in terms of who's the quarterback going to be. Is he even on the roster yet, or will that quarterback of the future be on the roster in 2026? They made the great trade out of number two last year. I think maybe some thought that they could get that guy this year. Unless they're going to trade half the franchise for Fernando Mendoza, and I'm not even sure that would get it done this year. I don't know. I don't know what Todd Monken is really going to be working with. I mean, we know what he's going to be working with, but I mean, you know, is this just going to be kind of a continue to build year, but you don't really have that guy to drop in yet? Certainly, yeah, I'm not taking it away from him. He's a good coach, but I mean, again, having seen so many Ravens games, it's also hard to, you know, not think of the number of times that the Ravens would forget to run the ball. Thinking about the 2023 AFC Championship game, or thinking about not giving Derrick Henry the football in that game against the Patriots on the Sunday night game, late in the season, happened in Pittsburgh, and like just those kind of does some head scratching things. And I mean, this isn't just a Todd Monken thing, but being an AFC North kind of there, Bo, I always feel like the Ravens were a team that wound up doing less with more, and like the Steelers were the team that did more with less. But we'll kind of see what Todd is as a head coach. Obviously, you know, the only other head coaching experience he had was at Southern Miss there. And, he's inheriting a team with talent. I really thought Andrew Berry had a good draft class in 2025 and should have another one with those multiple first-round picks this year. I just doubt one was going to be a quarterback, and we'll see where it goes. So let's give Todd a chance. Yeah, it's kind of hard to think that the Browns are going to make some quantum leap this year unless Shador Sanders does, and Todd's able to help him do that, and maybe that's the case.
Is there a coaching hire that you go, boy, home run, nailed it?
Man, so hard to take the eye view of all the day-to-day churn. I think one I really liked was Robert Saleh. Another guy who I thought kind of was done a disservice getting caught up in the black hole that is the New York Jets, but never had his quarterback there. But I think it's a guy who really connects well with players, obviously got some valuable learning time in a head coach's role there, and I think kind of learned what he should and shouldn't do, or at least for himself, and That's why he's going to call plays, you know, this time on the defense, which he didn't do with the Jets. And now he's got his quarterback. And again, mm-hmm. another team that's going to have a very high draft pick, has tons of cap space. Mike Borgonzi is going into his second year as a GM, but he came over from the Chiefs last year, so he certainly knows what winning looks like. And they're moving into a new stadium. So I think there's going to be a little bit of pressure to try to, you know, have that team kind of ready to go and maybe be playoff worthy a year from now when they move into the new yard. But I really thought that was, you know, a great hire for him, and we'll see how what happens for a team in a division that seems like it's, I don't want to say eminently winnable, but I mean, the AFC South is what it is.
Yeah, certainly is. I'll get you out of here on this one. Nothing official. I'm sure you'll get your official prediction later in the week once you talk to everybody, but just kind of your gut feeling on as we kick off Super Bowl week on Monday in terms of Sunday's game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to be going with Seattle. I'm probably going to be going with Seattle to cover. I mean, we're probably going to be talking about Drake May's shoulder all week and kind of the New England offense all week, and it hasn't looked that great. Obviously, the converse of that is they've played some really good defenses. They're probably going to play the best one in the league coming up Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what they've got. You know, I'm looking forward to the game. I hope Drake is fully healthy and is able to kind of give a full performance. But I'm probably leaning fairly heavily towards Seahawks right now.
All right, buddy. Great stuff as always. Thank you so much for joining us on a very busy week for you. Greatly appreciate you.
Okay. Good talking to you, bud. Thanks.
All right, there he goes. Nate Davis, our good friend, USA Today, joining on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Super Bowl week is here, kids. Time for three things on a Monday. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Guy Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football Impact Report.
In trying to add both through the transfer portal and high school recruiting, Ohio State has had it around 20 transfers from different schools, as well as more than 30 incoming high school recruits. General Manager Mark Pantone talks about the philosophy they've implemented in reloading for 2026.
There's one portal window now, so we have to be right. We don't have a chance to fix it in the spring. And so we don't want to be caught short-handed. So for some reason, if we have guys who decide to leave for the NFL or who want to go chance to play somewhere else with more playing time, we can't be caught short at the position. So we're going to overextend, I think, a little bit in the high school world and, again, develop these guys rather than try to go into the portal and make a bunch of – you never want to really have to take a portal guy to be a backup unless, you know, you just have major issues. So hopefully we can avoid that and just, you know, take guys that we feel are impact guys.
This report brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. This is Paul Keels on the Ohio State Sports Network.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round,
and Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through February 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Corolla or Corolla Hybrid. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a new gas-powered Corolla LE for $209 a month for 36 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Hey, what's up?
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have on the poll today?
The Daily Fan Poll asks, as of today, what do you think is more likely to happen? The Ohio State men's basketball team making the NCAA tournament or the Blue Jackets making the Stanley Cup playoff? 67% of respondents say the Jackets making the Stanley Cup playoff is more likely to happen over OSU making the men's NCAA tournament.
Let's go, Jake. Let's go, buddy. Go on a little run here. Get some wins. Get back in that thing. Be on the good side of the ledger. I think let's be optimistic in a frozen Punxsutawney Phil sees a shadow, more cold forever Monday edition of the program. They both get in.
In a world of Punxsutawney Phils, be a Buckeye Chuck.
Sorry, guys.
Is it the same rodent?
Well, no, they're different. And one.
No. I mean, is it the same?
They're both groundhogs, yeah.
They're both groundhogs?
Yeah.
We call them woodchucks, and they call them groundhogs.
Yeah, I think they just call him Buckeye Chuck
because it rhymes.
I think he's a groundhog.
Is a groundhog and a woodchuck the same thing?
I don't believe
it's so. It's a good question.
I mean, I think that's worth investigating.
That's worth a Google, for sure.
Maybe they're cousins.
I think Mike and Timmy will get the better of that. They'll get you an answer on that later on today. If a woodchuck and a...
There's no woodchuck day, but happy groundhog day.
And a groundhog are the same thing. All right, time for three things on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
One, two.
Three things. Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me, this upcoming weekend is the weekend. There's always one weekend a year where my wife and I just physically can't be everywhere that the kids are playing. So the two littles are playing in a travel basketball tournament about 45 minutes away. NBC is going to be playing in the area in his games this weekend, and we're going to have to decide, and because I coach the fours and sixes, it'll be me with them and her with NBC, the eighth grader. Doesn't happen often, but when it does, it just sucks. It really sucks. And the reality is I'll probably have to miss the last game NBC plays as a middle schooler, so that will suck. It's what we sign up for. We get it, but I'm not looking forward to this weekend trying to make all this work.
To answer the question that we discussed for 2 seconds, the groundhog is also known as a woodchuck.
So same.
Belonging to the group of large ground squirrels known as marmots. Yeah.
There you go.
And don't ever tell us you don't learn anything when listening to this program.
Let's see. Which is the biggest marmot?
May even be called a whistle pig.
Ah. Now,
why when I cite, what does this tell you about my Google search? I typed in which marmot is the biggest into Google, and all I get is Gucci purses. Gucci GG marmot medium shoulder bag.
What has the blonde been looking
a purse
at?
Out of?
Yes, we know. Well, God, no. I hope they're not farming woodchucks to make Gucci bags. They have them in Italy. They got woodchucks in Italy.
No trapper question.
Hope not.
First thing for me, quick weekend trips like this one to St. Louis are undefeated. I don't know why. I don't do them more. I need to do them more. That was a lot of fun to do that this weekend and see my buddy that I don't get to see all the time. Also, I think they're not finalized, but plans are in motion now for all of us to do this in New York City in December. To watch the Buckeyes in KU in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. The reason you don't do it more is, I think, for fear of being derailed. Like, the idea that your travel record is still imperfect is stunning to me. No delays, like, everything on time. It's nuts.
Well, we're going to get to that in thing number two.
Okay, very good. Number two for me. So, in between games this weekend, I watched a lot of college basketball, and it's funny. It's for me, it's just not close. It's just not close to the NBA. Like the college environments and a big game on campus, it doesn't matter about NIL. It doesn't matter if you have NBA players playing. They are electric environments all over the country, and the passion is coming through, and the talent this year in college basketball is absolutely bonkers. There's like five guys who are dudes in the NBA that are all freshmen, and it's been a lot of fun. It's going to be a very fun last month of the season here leading into March Madness.
This second thing for me might be better saved for thing or not a thing tomorrow, but I'll do a quick tease. Seattle's going all navy blue, which is a gorgeous outfit. Mm-hmm. They're wearing that in the Super Bowl going up against the all-white New England Patriots. Unfortunately, Seattle's 0-2 in Super Bowls wearing that. The last time they wore it in the Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler picked off Russell Wilson in the end zone.
So the Patriots got to pick first. They're the home team. They're the designated home team, and they chose to wear their all-icy whites because they're undefeated in those.
I think they're both making a mistake not going 1986 on us here.
They can't. And
they should.
Apparently, they petitioned the NFL. I heard that Seattle petitioned the NFL to wear theirs, and the NFL said no.
That's
a shame.
Stinks. That's would have been cool.
It's a damn shame. The NFL is robbing us. You mentioned my travel record is pretty good.
Yeah.
I love the airport. I really do. I love eating at the airport. I love drinking at the airport, even though it's expensive. I love the people watching at the airport. The plane that we were flying to from Dallas to home yesterday got a little bit delayed as it was coming in from Vegas. I saw a lot of those people getting off the plane. I don't think anybody won big. I'll tell you that much because those faces didn't look good. This was by far the easiest airport experience I've ever had, though, and they've all been good. We didn't have to wait at all in lines.
Really?
For, like, checking in. Like, we went straight up to the TSA agent, threw our stuff down, it ran through the machine, and we were in. Like, there was nobody flying this weekend, at least where I was going.
Wow, that's good. And by the way, I think that starts relatively soon. If you don't have the real ID, it's a $45 charge.
I believe it started February 1st.
Did it? Okay, yeah. So now a passport works. If you have a passport, you're fine. But otherwise, you need the real ID. Number three for me, I didn't watch a second of the Grammys last night. Not a single second of it. Not for any reason other than I just don't know modern music at all. And that used to be something I'd really get excited for. I just don't follow it. Like, I haven't listened to it, and I'm completely in the dark on who's winning these things.
I had this earlier in the show, and I didn't say it. 1999 was the last time the Mid-American Conference sent two teams to the NCAA tournament. It was Miami with Wally Szczerbiak, had won the regular season championship, but Kent State won the tournament championship. Both teams went dancing.
Make them both get in this year.
That Miami music doesn't win it. Oh, sorry. That music means the Jake Diebler Show is up next. Rothman and Ice have Ian Fitzsimmons at 2.
You have that to look forward to, which is very nice. We are back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tino will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FIRST.